Hello and welcome to
loudly screamed.
Try it again. Restart.
Do it again.
No,
it again.
This is the intro. Y'all can suck my balls. And by y'all, I mean my co-host, Nevin Densham.
Fuck you.
And frequent guest, Eric.
Frequent Guilo. That's going to come out of your mouth.
Frequent guest. Frequent guest. Howard Diphthongs Our Problem, hon, is the host of the show. I am Eric Nair. And sitting to my right is...
Dennis Lee. Hello.
And to his right is...
Jiho.
Who needs to lean in more so that the microphone can hear you. Jehovah.
Yep.
Jehovah the One.
We're all here today to...
VIP Jehovah.
VIP Jehovah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the racism that's going on in America's Best Dance Crew right now.
That's right. They hate the yellow man.
They hate the yellow man, dude. It's not cool.
They hate the Asians from Southern California.
Who are so obviously the better.
They are the best. It's crazy.
We're talking about this, right?
We were talking about
America's
this.
Best dance crew.
Yes.
Not America's Best Affirmative Action
there
dance
you go.
Crew. That's what I said. It should not be America's Best We Will Help Your Race Out dance crew.
Or region. It could be regionalism.
Whenever the affirmative action whatever the discrimination is occurring, it should not occur on the show. Also.
Don't say it.
Little Mama's an idiot.
Oh, that's fine.
Also.
Don't say it.
The Vietnamese girl from the Canadian crew is the hottest girl.
That's fine.
I think she might be a lesbian.
That's fine. Of course.
But
I would
donate sperm to her lesbian couple if I could donate
it in
the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
I would not do it with the turkey baster.
You know, she's Canadian, so she's probably down with it.
I think I see a vein
she
on
might be.
Howard's forehead.
Nothing you're saying makes any sense.
I don't know.
Canadian women just love fucking.
Maybe you
really?
Can employ your Mexican Tecate girl plan with the Canadian chick.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you could be like, I'm going to put a little American baby in
you.
Why
would
like,
you say that
kind
of stuff about your mom, dude? That's fucked up.
No, what are you even talking about? Canadians don't think Americans are
what's
dirty.
Wrong with you?
Oh, my Lord.
Seriously.
What am I going to do? Be like, oh, I'm wrong? Or go with it?
He means Canadian girls of our generation.
There you go.
Our
generation. Our generation. Those fucking skanks.
Listen,
what am I
going to
do, go with
angels.
It or say I'm wrong? Your choices were call your mom a slut or say that you're wrong. And you chose my mom's a slut. That's the option you went with.
I actually hedged. I said she was a hippie, which could be it could be retort saying she was really clothed-legged.
No. No, no one's like, you know who's a model of celibacy of those hippies?
Yeah. Canadian hippies.
The thing is... I think that the Canadian girl would jump at the chance to sleep with an American guy because here's the reason.
Well, she's in Montreal. She hates us.
Well, no, she is from Montreal.
What are you talking about? Americans are like less refined versions of Canadians.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
Especially the French Canadians.
No exoticism here.
No, that's not true at all. They just hate on us because they know we're the greatest. But anyways, here's the thing.
Yeah.
For a Vietnamese girl,
her
tits are not that big.
What?
No.
Vietnamese girls have big tits.
Since when were Asian girls renowned for
No, not all Asians, but Vietnamese girls, in my experience, have large breasts.
So, no, Filipinas.
Filipinas, no.
Yes.
The opposite is true.
I have
dated and fucked a lot of Filipinas. I'm serious. They have small breasts in general.
Welcome
are
to
you kidding
the
me?
Sexual tourism podcast.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No, not in Philippines.
No,
are you talking about ladyboys? Is that
that's probably what he's been talking about, especially since he was attracted to that one person in all
the dance crew. Yeah, especially when Eric was attracted to that dude that was dressed up as Lady Gaga. Yeah. And then when you found out that it was actually a man, you had to hide your boner in shame.
And wipe away that huge drool.
Yeah. Okay, that happened in your dreams last night.
On that note, what are we talking about right now?
All right, so let's get on with the podcast.
I wish I could just send armed security after everybody here, just drag you away. Just like
security.
I worked at Activision.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was the best.
Why is that bad?
What
a good thing.
The guy who runs Activision, I don't know him personally. I think
Bobby
his name
Kotick.
Is Kotick is his last name. Uh-huh. He seems like he's either the world's biggest IRL troll or he's like the worst guy ever. One of the two things has to be true because he actually said like quotations like, I want to take all the joy out of making video games.
He says, the specific quote was, the goal I had was to take all the fun out of making video games. It's going to be nothing but profit.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about. He's the guy that drove the Katahari Your Hero franchise into the grave.
He's got to be. He's either.
So clearly, his plan for profit is working.
Yeah.
Well, it's working great for him because actually, what he did is when Modern Warfare 2 sold like a hojillion copies, he cashed in a bunch of his stock options and made like $30 million.
Yeah.
So, working great for Bobby Kotick. Not so much for anyone else that works at Activision because they've shut down every single studio they own except for Infinity Ward and Treyarch.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like
and Blizzard.
And Blizzard, but that's
yeah, it's a different story.
Blizzard is still somewhat Blizzard. Untouchable.
Yeah, they are. They could also
buy themselves out, couldn't they?
Treyarch may not be as immune as we think. The thing is, they're currently working on Call of Duty 7, so they're immune at least until the game releases. But after that releases, who knows? But on the other hand, Treyarch has always been the most loyal, least problematic company. They've released solid games, and they've never broken with Activision's
corporate. You would have thought Infinity Ward would be.
No, Infinity Ward had a reputation for a long time for being prima donnas, like they were the shit, which they really were. They made great games, but their management, the two guys who were in charge, I think their names are Black
and
I don't remember what their two names are, but they would say stuff like, you know, Activision is a... There was one thing where one guy was like, Activision's a bunch of douchebags and stuff, which may be true. But you can't do that to Big Daddy. I mean, you know, so they... Okay, but
there was actually a kind of a relatively famous incident when Call of Duty World at War, which was the last Treyarch game, came out. And they, one of the Activision kind of heads, you know, was doing all these promo interviews saying, you know, here's what goes on in Modern Warfare, and here's how this game is different. And so they got one of the PR guy for Infinity Ward basically was like, here's the thing, you don't talk about other people's games when you're doing PR for your game.
Right.
You talk about why your shit is great. Yeah. And if you're going to compare it to our game, don't say shit that's wrong, because what you're saying is completely erroneous, like you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he called him a douchebag, basically. Like, he literally called him a douchebag.
So does calling your bosses a douchebag
usually get
fired? Well, listen, here's the thing. This is ultimately, like everything, not about insults or douchebaggery. It's about money. The royalty checks for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 are coming due in about a month. So these guys who are the head of Infinity Ward are owed a lot of money from royalties. This game sold billions of dollars. So this guy just conveniently decided that they were being insubordinate at the time before their royalty checks came
They've
out.
Been douchebags all along, and now all of a sudden it's convenient to fire them for being douchebags.
It's not a good. It's not good at all.
Legally, how's it look?
Well, here's a problem. So the complaint that the two guys that got fired, Jason West and Vince Zampella, they filed a complaint, I think, yesterday. In it, they described that they initially had a contract with Activision that was set to run out, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. And so they signed, or in 2008, and they signed a 3-year extension that would go until October 2011 that would give them time to finish Modern Warfare 2. They didn't actually sign a contractual extension. They just they wrote a
memorandum of understanding. Yeah. Memorandum of understanding, MOU, is what it's called. So
the problem with an MOU is it's basically what you draft when you don't want to draft a contract, because you want to draft a piece of paper that isn't necessarily as binding as a contract.
It's not binding. The thing about an MOU is this actually cuts against them, because the reason you draft an MOU is specifically not to enter into an exchange of promises. It's to say, well, here's what we're doing, but none of this is binding anybody to anything. Right. So this actually makes their case less strong, in my opinion, from a legal perspective, because if they wanted to enter a contract, they would have. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so basically the problem is almost everything that they're suing on is codified in the MOU, not in their initial contract with Activision. The royalty payments may or may not be. The problem is these actual documents haven't been filed with the court, and when they are, they're going to be filed under seal. So we're probably never going to see them. Mm. But at least from what it looks like from the complaint, it looks like everything that they want is codified in the MOU, not in the actual contract. So,
oops.
Yeah.
Well, they may have other remedies. They may be, for example, they may be able to get restitution for the royalties since they did all the work on it. I won't get into the legal what restitution means, but they may not be completely screwed. But what it really looks like is this Kotick guy. One guy who I think it was Kotaku put it right. One blogger on Kotaku put it right. He said he's more interested in paying his lawyers than he is in paying his employees, which is really fucked up in my opinion. I mean, he just basically wants to stick it to these guys. He's just going to say, look, we're going to probably end up paying you. It's like the Church of Scientology. Like, we're going to sue you just to fuck with you. You know, we're going to lose, but you're going to end up paying so much in legal fees and all this stuff that we're going to just fuck up your life.
Yeah. And they hired not a small law firm. They hired O'Melveny & Myers, which is a pretty major law firm.
My buddy is working on this case.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that the termination was justified?
Legally? Well, that's the other question, is that, you know, they're claiming that it was just completely retaliatory. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, yeah. You know, one day they called people in over President's Day weekend.
Right.
They started, you know, interviewing them. They interviewed their staff. They were driving people to tears. And when they tried to comfort their employees, they're told to sit down or they'd be charged with more
insubordination. Keep in mind, this is all in their
right.
This so is this, only alleged in their
right.
claim.
Right.
So
none of this is yeah. none of this is verified in any way.
Right.
So this is what they're claiming. Now, the other flip side of this, from Activision side, is that there were rumors going around the industry that these two guys were actually planning on jumping ship,
yeah.
starting their own studio
right.
to work on their own IP, because they were being told from up top, you're going to work on Modern Warfare 3.
Right. Exactly. Right.
You know, so they're like, all right, fine, Infinity Ward will make
right.
Modern Warfare 3. We're going to take all our
right.
best people here, go fucking make our own studio
exactly.
and make, you know.
The royalty contract or the royalty payments were contingent upon them maintaining their contract.
The way
yeah.
that
oh,
royalties
okay.
work in
the video game
industry is, I mean, some people have separate contracts, but you have to be a current employee, and then royalties are dispersed among the employees based on a sliding scale of what level employee you are.
Right.
So even though
basically everyone at Infinity Ward stood
right.
to make a good chunk of change from these world,
and
games.
Still does. Most
yeah.
of the employees will make money from Modern Warfare.
But
2.
The thing is that Activision's fiscal year was up at the end of February, which
right.
means royalty payments would be made at the end of this month,
exactly
in March. So
it's awfully convenient.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
very convenient.
I mean
yeah.
yeah,
but also the timing is right
can
for them to start planning to jump
that?
Ship.
We'll see. I mean,
can
we'll,
you
we'll
fire
see.
The entire staff of a company that's about to get a bonus, for example?
Theoretically,
oh, okay.
yes. I mean, these
like,
people are all...
Well, it depends on what kind of employment they have.
Yeah, they're all at-will employees,
yeah.
presumably. So, theoretically, yes. I mean,
if you're an at-will employee, I could fire you tomorrow because I felt like it.
But the truth is, it's not in their interest to do that because these guys are trained
oh, yeah,
at
yeah,
what
yeah.
they do. They're
yeah.
experienced at making Call of Duty games. So, to them, it really
foolish.
Makes more sense to pay them the royalties. But these two guys... probably were either do one of two things. One of the things that's alleged a lot is insubordination.
Mm-hmm.
And so either they were saying, no, we're refusing to make a Modern Warfare 3. We
want
to make a new IP.
Or do it the way you
want. Or we're not going to do it the way you want to. Which is interesting because I know they fought really hard to get M ratings on Modern Warfare 1 and also Treyarch to get M ratings on Call of Duty 5 and Call of Duty 7.
Yeah.
But
it also sounds like the one thing that they're railing against was the speed of the development cycle.
Yeah,
like
that's
part of
it.
Having to put out another Modern Warfare within 2 years.
Right.
Looked like something that they were.
And probably
about.
Part of it is, look, Activision, as Howard said, has closed down all their side branches.
Right.
They are counting basically on three things. One is
StarCraft.
Well,
Diablo
one
II.
Is one is Modern Warfare or called the Call of Duty series, which
well,
is now their only IP.
To be fair, they do have a pretty much constant revenue stream
from
World of Warcraft.
Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yes, they do, but they do not control that stream. That stream is controlled by Blizzard. One of the ways their merger was structured was that they only get a portion of that money. Blizzard gets to keep that money in-house
right,
and disperse it as they see. So Blizzard really controls World of Warcraft. They really can. I mean, Activision obviously has some benefit to it, but they have that. They have whatever games Blizzard is going to release eventually, and then they have a deal with Marvel where they put out all the Marvel games.
Right.
That's really basically all
they've
got.
Although I think that license lapsed
it's
relatively
possible.
Recently,
it's
at
possible.
Least with respect to downloadable content, because all their Marvel-related DLC is no longer available.
Oh, interesting. So maybe that lapsed
yeah.
too. So, you know, I mean, they're not doing so well, so we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, what are they going to be, a company that just makes Call of Duty all the time? I mean,
they have to develop new IP, right?
They
I
must.
Mean, in theory. But, I mean, they're also going to pump out another Tony Hawk ride.
Are they?
Yeah. There's Tony Hawk Ride 2 set
oh,
to be
really?
Coming out next year.
Who's doing that? Neversoft's closed down, isn't it?
Neversoft didn't do Tony Hawk Ride 1.
Oh, that's
1.
Right.
It,
that's
it
right.
was like a Rob Moto or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's
but,
right.
But that studio actually just recently started looking for new hires.
Well,
so you
would think that if they keep torpedoing successful franchises.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The franchises
well,
aren't that successful. Like, the music game, the music game
girl.
Has been way down. Way,
yeah.
It's not profitable anymore at all. So they just closed it down.
Well, I
know?
Think it's still profitable. It's just...
It's not, yeah.
They forecast for profits along what they made in 2008, and it's just not happening in 2009 because
yeah.
they're pumping out the iterations too often. They're
yeah.
putting out things like Guitar Hero, Aerosmith, which no one
yeah.
gives a shit about
right.
it.
Right.
You know, I mean, even something like, what was it, Guitar Hero Van Halen, which you think would have been a slam dunk, completely fizzled. Yeah. Not only did it fizzle, but they actually gave away free copies of Van Halen if you bought Guitar Hero Smash Hits.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is a significant number of the hit releases in the past 5 years have come from this, you know, conglomeration of Activision, Blizzard, Infinity Ward, and you would think that this, you know, allowing these franchises to sort of, these IP franchises to sort of die off, fizzle out, would engender massive stockholder.
Yeah, they publicly
the question is, you know, if you're stock, let's say you're stockholder and you're not necessarily completely video game familiar, right? You see that there are two companies that make these Call of Duty games. Both of them are very, very successful, right? The Modern Warfare ones probably sell a little bit more than Treyarch ones.
Considerably
right?
more.
But you know, World at War.
World at War sold more than a million copies, I think. So
very, very successful game. You know, probably made, it didn't make $1 billion, but it made, you know, several $100 million for them. Right? You're also hearing, though, that the guys that are responsible for the one that make $1 billion are...
lying snakes.
No, I mean, you know, they're
treasonous rats?
They won't listen to management. Little they want to do things their own way. And more importantly, they don't want to do another Call of Duty.
Right.
So if you're a shareholder, is a rational act to say, well, keep these guys around, let them make some new untested product? Or do you have more faith in the brand at this point?
Truthfully, it's like saying, well, Spielberg doesn't want to make another Private Ryan, so fired.
Yeah, let's fire
It's that
Spielberg.
Stupid. It's that fucking
well,
stupid.
Well, no, I don't think it's like that.
Sam Raimi doesn't want to make another Spider-Man. James Cameron doesn't want to make another Avatar.
No, it's not
same
even...
Same exact
I don't think the
thing.
Analogy between video games and movies is that far off. Because,
you take an IP, which is what any of these movies are, and the guy who made it doesn't want to make another one.
It's a very different structure because there's almost no movie series where we're accustomed to... The consumer is accustomed to seeing a new iteration every year, like clockwork.
Right.
Star Wars is possibly the closest thing.
Saw.
Right. But
Saw
like,
is a good
it,
one.
Yeah, maybe Saw. But like, if the director that did Saw 1 and 2 is like, I don't want to do Saw 3, you're going to fucking fire him and you're going to hire some other Howard director to make Saw 3.
Well,
and it's going to make as much money
isn't
because.
Isn't Infinity Ward closely associated with Modern Warfare?
I think it's iconically associated with them in the hardcore market, but I think if you take the average guy that goes to Best Buy to buy Modern Warfare, to buy Call of Duty, remember,
probably true.
Initially when they marketed Modern Warfare 2, it was only Modern Warfare 2.
It was
Infinity Ward, Modern Warfare 2. That
really
was all the branding they had, but... At some point, they realized that the pre-sales were not high enough, so they rebranded it Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
I've always found that to be confusing.
It is confusing, but what that says to me is that there's quasi-empirical evidence that suggests that the Call of Duty brand is the selling point.
Oh, absolutely, but it's also interesting in this new light to see, like, hey, Infinity Ward did not want to call this Call of Duty. There's a reason why they didn't. Maybe they're saying, listen, we don't want to just make Call of Duty games for the rest of our corporate existence. We want to do something else.
It might, you know what it might also be, though, is an attempt to distinguish the IP so that if they were to leave, because Activision owns Call of Duty.
Exactly.
If they say, this isn't Call of Duty, this is Modern Warfare, you could potentially get a lawsuit going where you're saying, this is a different IP, this belongs
to
us.
That's a good point,
so that might have been what they were trying to set the groundwork for.
That's also true.
Okay, so ethically, whose side are we on? I kind of think...
You know,
I hate Infinity
Ward. You can't take sides.
I want them
they're
all
both
to run out
dicks.
Of business.
Yeah, they're both dicks.
I want them all to go out of business and new, more enlightened companies to come up and give me great games.
I mean, honestly...
It, to Sierra Entertainment.
Sierra was owned by Vivendi. They got closed down
Let's assume that allegations are true on both sides.
Okay.
So it's both true that these guys were trying to poach talent to make a new company.
Yep.
And it's also true that Bobby Kotick sent in his stormtroopers to fuck these guys over because he didn't want to pay them royalties.
Who do I hate more?
Who do you hate more?
All of them. I want them all.
That's
they all
not an option. You have to choose.
You are incredible for both framing the question yourself and failing to answer any kind of coherent question.
I agree with that. That's really bad. Really bad this time, Evan.
Correct. Again, I'm not interested in reality or logic. I'm only interested in emotion. They all deserve each other.
It's easy to see the big corporation as the bad guy, and we always like to say, like, oh, the big bad corporation came in, but I think Bobby Kotick's personally a dick, but if I had a responsibility to hundreds of thousands of shareholders and employees...
Responsibility.
You do. You have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders.
You have a vested interest in your...
Come on, no. Listen, money is money, and I mean, frame it however you want. I mean, this is... however much we like games or movies or business, porno, yeah. This is a business. People are here to make money. No, I'm serious. Damn. Whatever it is that you like.
So here's a question. Is it more or less responsible to alienate these two guys that could potentially launch the next Halo? Because that seems to be the direction they want to do. They want to do some sort of futuristic shooter,
it's
right?
Incredibly stupid.
Halo's about to shut down. They're about to do their last... Bungie's about to do their last installment.
Right. Who really?
Knows? Yeah, the Halo Reach is going to be the last Halo by Bungie.
Yeah.
What is
Microsoft will probably hire who the fuck... Maybe the guys that made, like, Army of Two to fucking make the next Halo, right?
Jesus, let's hope not, because Army of Two sucks.
But, you know, Bungie's going to go do other things. They're tired of doing Halo,
I wonder what they're going
to
go do.
But here's the question. Is it more responsible for you to say, all right, Infinity Ward, guys... Get the fuck out of here. We don't care what you want. Or would you say, hey, you know what? You want to make Halo, like, new Halo? You fucking make new Halo.
Yeah,
we will publish it for you, absolutely. And we will fucking make
that
a bajillion dollars.
I don't think it has to be either way. I mean, something could have been worked out. It didn't seem... Well I'm not privy to the internal, like, negotiations, but it didn't...
Just so you guys know, to frame this in a way that just to be fair, Modern Warfare 2 cost nearly $200 million to make. And it took... a very long time on a crazy schedule.
It also, though, to be fair, made $1 billion
it
in
did.
Its first
it
week.
It did, but imagine, now you're saying it's just like, we'll publish Halo and make $1 billion. Well, if they make this game, and they don't know what they're doing, they have to make the IP from scratch. You know, Infinity Ward is famous for just throwing crap together, which is why Modern Warfare's story made absolutely no sense and sucked. Okay. But because they just like to build levels and then put it together. So let's say they do it all from scratch. It takes 3 years. It costs... $400 million, and then they put it out there, and it sucks.
You know what that
now
sounds like?
Now you're fucked.
It sounds like Avatar, because Avatar
made $1 billion.
But Avatar was an unproven IP that, for no good reason, was successful.
Yeah,
except for James Cameron and his Midas touch.
I understand that, but
I mean, under that scenario, then no rational acting corporation
would ever take big financial risks.
Yeah.
The thing you put,
but there's a difference between taking a big financial risk. And taking a smaller financial risk with a new IP. One of the things that these corporations do, like how Activision acquired Infinity Ward in the first place, is they look for games that show potential, that sell well unexpectedly or on the market. That's the same thing they did when they bought Harmonix with Guitar Hero. It's the exact same thing.
And so then they just run them into the ground.
That's what they do. But that is what they do.
Right. No, look.
Listen, as much as we might find it distasteful,
I mean,
that's what they
do. But as a shareholder, which... So here's the problem is that EA is actually doing... EA, which used to be a kind of like the great evil in the gaming industry for a long time, actually adopted the opposite model for like the last 2 years where they're trying to create new IP. But, Nevin, you say it's wise from a creative perspective, but from a fiscal perspective...
Right, they're dying, dude.
They're dying right now. They're in danger of being taken over by Disney or another third party.
Right, because they just keep trying to make new IPs that don't work. And also, by the way, we should keep in mind something as well.
Well, have both, though. They have Madden, they have their sports franchises, but the money that all those things are bringing in is basically just being bled out of the company because they're trying to make all these new IPs, which some of them are good, like Dead Space, but it did not sell well. If they took a lot of risk
and they ultimately flop, that's what happens when you take risks sometimes.
You have to understand that games...
But I guess so, that's my question. Are you being a responsible CEO if that's the way that you manage your company?
Same way that Fox spent $500 million financing fucking James Cameron's Avatar.
Right. Well,
the slash and burn approach
of making games and, you know, building franchises isn't necessarily the only successful way. Because look at Blizzard. You know, they've created franchises that are incredible quality and have great longevity and are very profitable. Yeah. You know?
That's true. But also, we should keep in mind, if it wasn't for World of Warcraft, Blizzard would be a huge drain, and it probably is on Activision.
They would be making more single-player games if it weren't for
World of Warcraft. Listen, I have to tell you, Blizzard is rare in the gaming industry today because it is a hugely successful company that makes games only for PC.
And part of that is because of its culture.
That is unprecedented. There's no other company out there that does that. They make games solely for PC and they're hugely successful. So Activision is taking a huge risk because let's say the last time Diablo came out or StarCraft came out, the PC platform was much more dominant in the market.
Right.
So now Activision is taking a big risk. Of course, StarCraft is going to sell huge. It's a huge IP, and the population of Korea, 2 out of every 3 people will buy it.
Korea's solely responsible.
No, no, no. We joke about that, but they will make $1 billion in Korea.
Absolutely.
But But so they're fairly successful in that. But let's say Diablo 3 comes out. That game has taken 5 years to make. If it flops, that's a huge loss. And World of Warcraft, the subscriptions are going down. The server costs are going up. So, I mean, that's not going to be a cash cow forever.
Cataclysm. When everyone logs back on.
Exactly. Yeah. You never know. They're trying to do that. But, you know, in the economy down like this.
Until they make World of StarCraft and get rich again. Dude, Systems of StarCraft.
Right. What? You know, listen, Blizzard...
Because it's World of Warcraft and then Systems of StarCraft. Because it's in space, dude.
Solar Systems of StarCraft.
Can't wait. I might actually buy that for 5 minutes.
But listen, you know, there are great games that come out that are unsuccessful. Games are like movies. The majority of games lose money.
Sure.
That's true.
But you make one hit and you pay for everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's how you do it. But so
and from that's Activision's why it's a perspective, risky business.
But from Activision's perspective, and the same way from Viacom's perspective, that they should make Spider-Man 3 until Spider-Man stopped making money, they should keep making it.
I have no problem with them making and wanting IW to make more Call of Duties.
Right.
I think they should have them do more Call of Duties and also let them make
I would like that too, but they have a limited number of resources, dude.
You go, look, you do, it's the same way that Spielberg gets to make one for himself, and then one for the business.
But, yeah, I guess that's true.
And sometimes the one for the business doesn't make money, but the one for himself does. And that's what you do to keep your talent happy. At the end of the day, you can't replace Infinity Ward, you can replace Activision.
Whoa.
You can always find someone who's
got
the money.
I'm not sure about that.
This is true. You can always find investors who are able to put up to bankroll shit. Ultimately, you're always able to find them.
You're going to find people who are going to put up $400 million for a game and market the whole thing.
If it's IW or Blizzard.
And
at that
know
level,
the business and that, are
at,
able
at
to...
At the level of competence of an IW or Blizzard, yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You just go to a different big studio like EA.
You can find people who will release your product and know how to release your product.
I agree. Right. You got to take care of your talent, you know?
Talent is not
replaceable. Who knows? These guys were the heads of the studio. I'm not sure that they were... even primarily even responsible for any of the creative on Modern Warfare 2.
They're probably responsible for all the shit we don't like.
Let's be honest.
Like, no fucking lean.
I mean,
angry about no lean.
I mean, Team Ninja seems to have done fine after they kicked out Degaki. Right. It could be the exact same thing.
Exactly. There have been plenty of things. Look, you also have guys, for example, a great example is George Broussard, who is the head of 3D Realms. He kept the Duke Nukem franchise away from everything else, kept it as his baby, worked on it separately as his creative project while the company was putting out more profitable rehashes of other things and working with other companies. And he worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. They never released it. It was a huge money sink. It ended up destroying the company. So that can happen, man. That is a reality.
That's super indulgent also.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I understand that's an extreme example, but you know, if I'm in a business, my job is to make money for the people who invested in my business. That's it.
But does that mean you can't also do it ethically?
Because what's unethical about it?
Well, I believe, you know, they could very well, you know, marginalize and push these guys out, but give them their royalties for the years of works that they...
Okay, sure, yes, that is... I agree with that. That's
just the stick up the guy's ass.
Yeah, don't send in the guys with the jackboots to kick them out of the building and,
a month before
their royalty payments are due.
Agreed.
Although it is kind of like... super arch villainy.
It's also a hey, everybody else at IW and Treyarch better
don't
not fuck
with
us or we will drop the hammer on you guys.
I did get a mental image of the Kingpin sitting at his desk waving
although
cigar.
They gotta be careful because they do that and then everyone sits quiet and takes their fucking royalty and then everyone is not under the gun.
What do you mean?
Well,
no,
the hammer's got to fall in the next month in order to really punish these guys if they were going to leave or threaten them to leave.
Yeah, but they need jobs, too.
dude, studios are fucking closing all over. There's not a lot of funding to go around right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if Infinity Ward as a group all quit...
I'm not thinking of that.
Then
I'm just
EA might pick them up, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably would. If they were smart, they would. But that's still a maybe. You know what I mean? And the other thing that this guarantees is whoever replaces these two guys as the heads of Infinity Ward, Activision is like, so...
Yeah.
Let's talk Call of Duty. They'd be like, would you like Modern Warfare 3 or 4?
Absolutely.
We can make 3 through 5 all at once if you'd like.
You know, I feel like this is indicative of a larger trend that, like, all these mega corporations gobbling up the smaller studios.
And then fucking it up.
It's really kind of, like, degrading the quality of games overall.
Yeah, but listen, I don't think you can say
they're... Film did a bunch of consolidations and... you see fucking DreamWorks like
one
being a
massive
flop.
Film every year. That's
yeah,
what you
but
get.
I don't think you can yeah. say that they're fucking yeah. it up. I, in all fairness, listen, Modern Warfare 2 is a terrible game. I agree with you. It is a really bad
but
game.
It well,
but it made it
Avatar
made,
is a terrible movie.
Avatar
but
is
it made
a terrible movie.
Fucking $1 billion.
But they
what
made
the
a lot
fuck,
of money.
James Cameron?
It made a lot of money. So listen, you can't say that they're torpedoing the industry. There's also a lot of good indie games and games that get made. That, like Dead Space is
Altitude.
A great example. Dead
Farm
Space.
Bill.
Altitude.
I take that
no,
back.
Do not ever mention that game again.
Look, Eric Nair, I want everyone to know this. Eric Nair loves Farmville.
No!
When I log on to Facebook, like three quarters of my
oh
announcements
my
are
God.
Like,
Lies.
Eric Nair needs a new cow.
Lies.
Log on to Farmville and help
Lies.
Him milk Bessie.
Please give oh him fertilizer.
I hate Farmville so much. I hate it so much. Anyway, I mean, listen, it's an interesting issue. We'll see how it plays out. There's a lot more to it than we know. I'm talking to a few guys who are kind of insiders, both at the law firm and at Activision, so we'll see what they have to say. But it's a fucked up situation.
Yeah. Well, I think more culpable than the software developers, I think, are the hardware developers for selling us machines that are going to fall apart at any moment.
Like the PS3.
Like the PS apocalypse.
Yeah. The PS apocalypse reminded me of the year 2000
oh,
bug.
You missed
the or the Zune apocalypse.
Yeah, the Zune apocalypse. That's right. I remember that too. Yeah.
Did you not read the show notes, Nevin?
I did, but what the fuck is a PS3 apocalypse?
Can you not like fill up your pitcher with water during the show? Like, can you not wait until like
I'm
after the shows?
I'm helping Gino right
what
now.
The fuck is your problem?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know what's going on with you guys.
What? Gino wanted some water.
Did I?
Really? You couldn't ask me to take a break for a moment?
Well, no, because it wouldn't be comical.
So you could fill up the Brita and maybe...
Gio wanted some water, and yet you have the cup of water that you were drinking from, and you did not give Gio
you're like,
Gio water.
Wants some water. So I took all the water in the Brita.
Damn you, Guaylo.
Okay, so Sony misses right, the racist. Y2K bug by about 10 years.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
I mean, they,
look, apparently
it's
just
like all right,
so Nevin, to answer your earlier question, the PS3 apocalypse occurred when... Someone that was programming the internal calendar in the PlayStation 3s forgot that there is no February 29th, 2010. So, PS3s would turn on, and they'd try to sync up, and it'd be like, error, does not exist.
Oh, so that's what happened.
Yeah, that's why your PS3 didn't work on, like,
oh,
Monday.
Did you? Is that
yeah, exactly. I was trying to log on to play some Modern Warfare 2, you know, and...
the worst game ever, right?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Did you ignore all the warnings where, like, please do not turn on your PlayStation for the rest of the day? Bad, awful, bad things might happen to you.
What? So what happened to the PS3? Like, overwrite its hard drive?
No, it just kept on saying, like, an error.
Well, Gio, do you have a Slim or one of the older, bulky models?
I think it's a bulkier.
Yeah, well, the Slims were fine.
Yeah.
Just the older, bulkier models, there's a chance that, like, if you actually played a game and earned a trophy, it might, like, fuck up your save data.
It did. That was for Tekken.
Okay, that's good. That's anyway, so you'll forever never be able to get that trophy. So
damn it!
Forever?
That you'll never get a platinum in Tekken.
Oh, dude. I played like five games that day.
That's too bad. Too bad. I'm sorry about that.
But apparently it corrected itself like the next day.
Damn it!
It's like, oh, everything's back to normal until the next like even year when it, or like, what is it, like 2014 when some get fucking confused again?
Yeah, exactly. Well, by then
the
it'll be
world
PS4.
Will be over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, 2012.
Yeah, don't forget, the world will be over.
2012
is coming. Plan accordingly.
Yeah.
When in 2012 is the world supposed to end?
December
12th?
Sometime in December.
So it's 12-12-12?
At least we
that's,
get the
that's when the world
year,
is supposed to end? Did you
like
just make that up because it's convenient?
No.
That's what I would do.
I'm pretty sure the Mayans actually had it somewhere.
Is this like last night when we were watching TV and you were asking me if a character on Law and Order was a lesbian because you thought the actress portraying her in real life was?
No!
But she played a lesbian on TV, Howard, playing a straight woman.
Of course!
I have a theory about 2012. I think, you know, the Mayan guy who was chipping the calendar to stone just died.
Just got lazy?
Just ran
or died, yeah.
I mean,
he was getting a blowjob and then he had a heart attack.
Somebody
he's like, look, I've done the calendar 400 years into the future. How much farther do you want me to go?
Yeah.
It's like, to me, this is like the same thing as like when like 80s sci-fi talks about shit that's going to happen in like the year 2000.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like it seems really far away, but like it's really not.
Dude, my favorite part of Transformers the movie is that it takes place in the futuristic year of 2005.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, the fucking years from Back to the Future are coming soon. But anyway, listen, here's what I have to say. Somebody made a calendar, made a chart on that freaking like Graph Jam. That was really funny. It was like, number of top predictions in human history that the world is going to end. Number of people who believe it. Number of times that the world has actually ended. Zero. It's like, so, like, come on. The world's not going to fucking end, dude. Everybody's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Like, 2 years from now, we're all going to be in some sort of space arc. And you're going to be, oops.
We'll all be huddled together in some basement awaiting the apocalypse.
Fighting zombies or something. Anyway.
Teleporting zombies.
The PS3 thing was bad, but let's move on. What else we got?
Good job, Sony.
Sony fucked up. What else is new? They have a white guy for CEO and a Japanese company. It's fucked up.
you mean to say any group of Japanese people dumb enough to trust a white guy?
No, what I'm saying is look how fucking horrible they are that they actually had to break their racism, their long tradition of racism. How desperate they are, dude. They just know their company's horrible, and so they're just like, listen.
They have a long history of stupidity. The mini-disc.
Betamax.
That's true.
It goes right back to
ironically, though, like...
The mini-disc was hugely popular in Korea,
the
dude.
They're like Apple, but not as cool.
But here's what Apple wanted to not be. Here's the thing, ironically, this is the first time that their stupidity gambit has actually paid off, and they own the proprietary format.
That's true. Okay. Well, yeah, but what good has it done them? Blu-ray is not doing anything.
Yeah. it's like the most spherical of victories. Congratulations, Blu-ray is adopted. But you've sold zero systems. Yeah, good job. Yay!
Falcon! And then you died.
Good job, Sony.
If
only Blu-ray was 3D. Who knew that that's all you need to do to get people really excited for something?
I don't know.
It was 80s technology.
Yeah,
just
true.
Not in red and blue.
Yeah, I don't know. Sony, I don't like you.
What about Ubisoft? Do you like Ubisoft?
They're a bunch of their new
exciting DRM?
Which reminds me, dude, I'm almost done with AC2. I need to get it back to you. Here's the thing. I was going to mention this on the podcast on purpose.
Wait. No. You're going to talk about Assassin's Creed 2 after the break. When we talk about what we've been doing.
Vagina.
Not right now. Okay. Hold that thought. Okay. Hold that nugget in your brain.
It's hard for me, Howard, you know, because I have no self-control.
You have weird verbal diarrhea. All right, but we are going to talk about Assassin's Creed 2 on the PC, which you haven't been playing, which its new exciting DRM. So, Nevin, tell us about the DRM for Assassin's Creed 2, because I know you read through all the show notes I sent you earlier today.
What?
Because I know you had a very busy day of going to the office and working.
Oh, I did shit today.
Yeah, that's what'd true. You do, Nevin?
I actually watched TV for class. I did a little writing.
Did you play some Borderlands?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually.
Why not?
I had to go to an event at the Canadian consulate.
Did you have some towel time?
You know what? I would have loved to have. There were two good-looking girls there.
Have some towel time.
One was a model and an actress.
Wow.
And I talked to her mom, which was fucking terrible because she's sitting right there. Mom's right
Why,
there.
Where was this event at the Canadian Consulate?
Canadian Consulate is for...
Same genes.
You know, it's one of those where you look at the mom and you look at the daughter and you're like, that's just not possible.
That reminds me of the best...
Sometimes you look at the mom, the daughter, then you look at the mom and you're like, oh my God, that's going to be her in 10 years.
Yeah, that's true. That reminds me of
the
best...
Her in like 40,
and then
but...
It's hard to like get that image out of your head.
Her dad... 40?
How old was the girl?
The mom
like
was
14?
Like 60 and the girl must have been like 22.
Mm. That's hot.
And she was filthy fucking hot. She was like half British and Cyprus... And like half Indian, she looked like the girl from.
I like the disgust and disinterest that entered Eric's voice as soon as you're like an Indian. He's like, oh,
dude,
no, she was
Frida Pinto. She's gorgeous.
Really fucking hot, and her mom was a British 6-year-old woman. In every sense of that, with red hair, she dyed at home.
The tea stained
her teeth are just looking great. And she's fat. She's round like a ball.
Oh,
you're like, that is a horrible future.
Too many crumpets.
Horrible future. And then the other girl was some fucking American working at the Canadian consulate, which is funny.
She was hot, right?
She was great from the face down. Face busted.
Butterface.
Body.
So,
body was.
But you like that though.
I kind of do.
You do love that.
I kind of do.
That's, you know what that's called? That's called the Persian action. Or
I like
Armenian.
It, you know what it is? I don't need to look her in the
Persian
face.
Persian slash Armenian action.
When I'm not looking to marry her. Or
Vietnamese
her
as well. Right. Like I said, Vietnamese girls, great body, bad face. Persians of Asia.
She had those teeth where you're like, the gums are huge. Not the teeth, the gums.
Oh, yeah, too much gums. I don't like that either.
For the Vietnamese girls that I dated, I think that Eric's totally wrong.
And her lips were blue.
I've dated Vietnamese girls. They had huge smile
where when they smile, there's more gums than teeth.
Kind of like this. Like, yeah, you know, like this.
I don't like that.
It's just horrible.
Our listeners can see.
That's not good. Everyone check that out. Check that out on not anywhere on the internet.
That's no good.
I'm not falling for your attempts to distract me, Nevin. Tell me about Ubisoft's VR.
I don't know.
Just try it. Make up something.
Well, the one,
what do you think they make you do? What's an exciting new DRM strategy?
Exciting. Well, subscription.
You're close. You're actually shockingly close.
You're actually close.
You're not far off. Keep trying.
I don't know. Ubisoft space bucks. Link to a credit card that constantly is billed. And
Wait a minute, this is a good idea. Let's hope Ubisoft doesn't listen to this podcast and go up with
it. If you don't pay, all your content goes away. It's like Rhapsody. It's like Rhapsody. If you can have all the DRM you want, but as soon as you stop paying, you lose it all.
Stop giving them ideas.
All right. Anyways,
you can play every game in our catalog, provided we charge you $1 a minute.
It's like a multiplayer. It's like an MMO without the MM.
That's what
part.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, Nevin, the new DRM is actually you have to be connected to the Ubisoft cloud at all times while you're playing Assassin's Creed 2 on PC.
Oh, kind of like Steam.
Your games will be saved to the cloud.
What?
Much worse than Steam, though. Steam only hits Steam at the very beginning, and then you're totally free.
So your games will be saved to the cloud. That's, if you get disconnected for whatever reason, it'll...
Your game crashes.
You get kicked out of the game.
Wow.
And then you have to log back in.
And you lose all the progress you made.
Well, so apparently they fixed that.
Oh, okay.
So...
Fuck them.
Initially, when it launched, what happened was, let's say, like, got kicked out in mid-stage, it would kick you back to the last save checkpoint, but apparently they fixed it in their most recent patch to it.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. You could be in the middle of a race, and you get kicked out, and what do they just jump you back in right in the middle? You're like, fuck, like, what are you going to do?
I mean, pretty much, but...
Yeah, all right.
What's this show's general position on DRM?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to.
I've actually come around on DRM, and I like the way that you buy it, and it's like a game. You pay money, and you own it, and it's there. I don't like the whole micropayments.
DRM is
digital rights management. It's the way to.
Oh, sorry.
It's like copy protection.
Not DLC.
Oh,
DRM.
Bad.
Think iTunes pre 2008.
Then DRM is gay.
DRM likes men.
Nobody likes DRM.
Yeah, well, it's more of a. It likes it up the butt.
I don't like DRM either, but. It's just a natural consequence of...
It's a reality of the world that we live in. You can't not have it.
The least invasive DRM is the best.
I agree.
I think this is about as uninvasive as possible. How many people are playing PC games that don't have a constant internet connection?
Right, until your internet connection goes out, because internet connections are so reliable.
But that hasn't
stopped people from playing World of Warcraft. Exactly. No one's playing World of Warcraft because their internet connection's unstable.
Here's a key difference between World of Warcraft and Assassin's Creed 2, is that for that constant connected state, you're getting added value. You're getting added functionality. For Assassin's Creed 2,
you get nothing.
A pain in your
really
ass.
Good point.
That's what you get.
That's a fucking
and
really
in fact,
good point.
Why can't you are forced to purchase something that you don't actually necessarily have to have?
That's
to
like
play
free content
games.
Websites
listen,
that annoy you with flashing
yeah,
banner
this
ads
particular
until you pay.
This particular DRM is onerous.
Invasive.
This is
invasive.
Onerous, but and that's a really good point.
I think it's as uninvasive as possible. Look, I'm sure there's some people out there that play PC games that for whatever godforsaken reason don't have an internet connection. But that's 0.01% of PC
games. If I'm on an airplane and I have a game that I purchased, I want to be able to play it.
Sure.
Well, another problem
is... If I'm in Zimbabwe or I'm a U.S. Army officer in Afghanistan and my internet connection is like two strings and a tin can... I want to play my game.
But you're not a U.S. Army officer in Afghanistan. You got more important things to worry about.
That's not true.
If you're on an airplane, you're not going to complain that you can't play World of Warcraft.
Look, here, yes, that's correct. But again, his point was that you actually get value for being connected to the internet.
It's a single player game. You should be able to play it without being.
Well, that is. Listen, that's a great point. My other concern is that if you're constantly connected to them, I'm not sure what they're doing. Like, you know, you always have an open port on your router then, and something's always, you know, I mean, who the fuck knows what they're doing? I don't like that. But, listen, I play the majority. I'm a huge PC gamer. I'm a huge PC fanboy. Not huge, but I like all systems, but I'm a...
You're a huge PC fanboy.
I'm a PC fanboy, not a huge one. It's not like I exclude other systems. I like other systems as well.
I did,
but
my PC died.
I play most of my games now on Steam. the vast majority on Steam. Now, Steam does have an offline mode where if it can't, if it detects that it literally it cannot connect, it will allow you to play the game off Steam, but only if it detects that it can't connect.
That's cool,
which is fine.
But I mean, but I think Steam's unique because if you're playing a game off of Steam, you've purchased it legitimately. Right, they know that you've paid real world money to purchase that game, right?
Sure. Which is why Steam is excellent.
To me, this is just it's look. Back in the day, we used to be able to save our games to the cartridge.
Right.
And now if I want to save my games, I have to buy a memory card or I have to buy a hard drive. And that's shitty. It's more... I don't want to have to spend that money. But you know what? The world evolves.
Right.
Right? The gaming sphere evolves. And this is... To me, it's just a natural progression of what happens in a world where 90% of the people playing any PC game are pirates.
Well, I don't think they've learned any lessons from the history of DRM. If you look at iTunes, for example, the moment iTunes went off DRM, sales went up.
Yeah, but PC games, empirically, they've demonstrated that games with no DRM, 90% of the people, PC games that are hits are making sales, like their sales are 10% of the people playing those games.
Right.
Okay.
Right? That's without DRM. So we know, we've done it without DRM. We know empirically that if you sell a game without DRM, people will pirate it.
One of the interesting things about PC games is, there's a lot of piracy on console games as well, but not nearly as much. They say that if you cut out all the piracy across the board, PC games would be on parity with Xbox 360 in terms of sales, which shows you the huge amount of piracy that's going on.
Because the distinction between downloadable music and PC games is everyone buys downloadable music, right? My mom buys downloadable music. Right?
I don't.
People that's because you get it from friends, right? But PC gamers, yeah, they're technically savvy people, right?
You're not playing games on the PC if you're especially hardcore.
Yeah, you're playing fucking Bejeweled if you're your mom, right? But if you're gonna play Assassin's Creed 2 on the PC and not the Xbox 360 or PS3, you're a technically savvy guy. You're the guy that's going to go fucking find a torrent 2 weeks before it's released and download it.
Dude, I have seen guys... You can do it something called register a game on Steam, where you can take a game that's not on Steam and register it on Steam so that your friends on Steam can see you're playing it. And I've been playing, say, Left 4 Dead 2, and I see somebody come up with a game that I have review code for to review the game before it's been released, and he says he's playing this on Steam. So one of two things is happening. Either this guy is the dumbest reviewer ever and has actually got review code for a magazine and has actually registered it on Steam like a fucking moron, or he's a pirate who wants people to know, look how fucking cool I am. I pirated this game. I'm on Steam playing it and fuck you guys. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, and that happens all the friggin' time.
I'm of the opinion that the people who are smart enough and are determined enough to pirate a game are going to do it anyway.
That's probably true.
And if you make it impossible for them to pirate the game, you're not going to coerce them into buying the game. They're just going to go pirate other games that are
easier. But so what do you lose, though, if you're Ubisoft?
Right.
That fucker wasn't going to buy your game to begin with. You lost the confidence of a pirate? Whoa, whoopee fucking new, dude.
Not the pirate. You get nerd rage, basically.
Honestly, how many
of those nerds that are freaking out about this DRM were honestly going to buy Assassin's Creed 2?
Probably not many. There's a company
I would say single digit percentage at most.
So There is a piracy conversion rating, which is people who pirate games sometimes can be converted into purchasing either this game or further games, but that is a very small percentage.
It's infinitesimal.
Yeah, it's very small.
But I
would argue that it's still probably larger than the number of people that are not buying the game because of the DRM.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably true.
Because look, we're especially nerds. We want what we want,
right?
And if I'm desperate to play Assassin's Creed 2, I might write a fucking angry email. I might put some forum posts being like, fuck Ubisoft Montreal. You know, I'm never going to buy their shit ever. And I'm going to go to Best Buy. I'm going to fucking buy it.
Yeah.
You know? And like, they did that shit with Modern Warfare 2. When it came out, people were like, no lean, no dedicated servers. Like, fuck you, right? And the day it came out, they had a fucking snapshot up of Steam. And the Steam group was boycott Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
And 99% of the dudes on that group, you know what they're fucking playing? Modern Warfare 2. Because nerds want what nerds want, right?
But they might have pirated it.
That's true. No, but nevertheless, right? So, but with Assassin's Creed 2, you can't pirate this.
There is one way. It would require, basically, you would need like You need to set up like BitTorrent. No, you need virtual. You need to set up like with what nerds do with BitTorrent, where like you have like the Pirate Bay in Sweden. You'd have to have a bunch of guys who set up a cloud and you connect to their cloud. The problem with that is, though, I mean, if you're worried about connecting to Ubisoft and them fucking with you, can you imagine how risky it is to connect to this cloud of just
pirates? You're not fucking connecting to a cloud owned by choir boys, right, dude.
Exactly.
These guys have eye patches and cutlasses, and they will hurt you.
These are people that are obviously like they don't have the strictest of moral codes.
They have their own rule. They're like all criminals. There is an honor among thieves thing.
Like if you go on BitTorrent. And, like, there's a guy whose name is Axo. He is famous for torrenting movies, like, as soon as they come out or before, with really high quality and small. So a lot of people tried to, like, be like Axo. They would put his name on their torrents.
Right.
And then, like, try to pirate people. The fucking BitTorrent mafia of pirates found these guys and just ruined them. for pretending to be this guy.
What'd they do? Spam their IPs? Or
no, they literally found out who they were in real life from their IP and just got them in trouble and here's their Google Maps, here's their house, this is the school they go to, this is their name, here's their phone number.
They just fucked them over.
They sicked the internet out.
That happened also, for example, this kid
That's
who
cool. I want that power.
These two kids made Scary a video time. Of them oh. like torturing a cat. And, like, a bunch of people on the internet found out who they were and, like, just fucked their lives up.
So there is
kind of an honor among thieves thing.
Don't get the internet angry.
Yeah, don't piss off the internet. Period. But, listen, I don't know. I think Ubisoft, their attitude is, look, the PC gaming market for this is small. Alienating the market doesn't hurt us because most people are probably going to steal the game anyway.
It's an experiment.
So let's give it a shot and see if we can increase our sales.
Honestly, I think they're testing the waters for this program to see how it works out for Ruse. Because Ruse is an RTS, and half your audience at least is going to be on the PC.
I can't think of many RTSs that... RTS is one of the few genres that has held out to be basically all PC people. It's such a difference between... Like, the whole PC versus console
timing and
FPS
issue.
Thing is a big thing where PC gamers are all arrogant, like, we're much better, which is true, but... It's empirically true.
I'm the biggest fucking console fanboy in the room, and there's no way to argue that you get more accurate...
Right. It's just not possible. Yeah,
mouse and keyboard.
But
right?
I still get sad when I have to pick up a console and shoot things.
I don't mind if your PC wasn't in the garbage, you wouldn't have to do that.
I
don't mind it so much. I mean, it's fine. Look, you know what you're doing. But anyways, with RTS, I have reviewed like Command & Conquer 3. I'm going to review Command & Conquer 4 for console. You just cannot do it. There is no way to make it good on a console. It's just not possible.
Touchscreen.
You could
actually touchscreen could pretend we'd have to create a whole new input device.
Maybe, but touchscreen would be a lot slower than mouse and keyboard.
Just give him a mouse and keyboard.
I don't know. Not if it's like Minority Report style touchscreen.
Natal's
gonna fucking change everything.
I used to go to this PC bong where there were these guys who were playing StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, StarCraft.
The PC bong of the future.
The hotkeys.
Sorry,
alone.
They're playing. I watched one guy. A Korean, I believe he was Korean or Korean American. He did not touch the mouse. He played the entire game with the hotkeys on the keyboard. He fucking crushed everyone. I've never seen skills like that. It was the most skills at a gaming of a gamer. He was the most skilled gamer I've ever. He made Fatality look like a fucking bitch. I swear to God, this guy was so good at this.
He didn't actually play Fatality. I know that, but what I'm saying is his level of skills was extrapolated. I've actually seen Fatality play at the
I've seen him play too. Fatality is amazing at.
Look, did this Korean guy have his own fucking sound card? I don't think so.
Good point.
Exactly.
I have Fatality's sound card in my PC.
Why?
Anyway, look, as far as the DRM goes, there's no way around it. I agree with Howard. They're going to try stuff to try to increase their profit margin. They have to.
The Batman one that they did with Arkham Asylum was interesting, where what happened was you could play up to a certain point, and then there was like a jump that is impossible for you to make if you're not playing a legit version.
Right.
Right? Yep. And so it was funny because this kid came on the forum and he's like, I can't get my bat cape to deploy. Like, what's going on? And then like one of the mods was like, maybe you should try buying the game instead of
pirate.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. I think
this DRM scheme is not meant for games like Assassin's Creed 2. It's meant for stuff like Ruse, where you will want to have a persistent internet connection because you want to play people online, right? And people are talking about how cloud computing and like save your games on the cloud.
Right.
All that stuff's the future fucking anyway, right?
I just don't so like why I don't not want build something I've paid for to be owned offsite.
Look, I that's why I fucking still buy discs, right? But
it could be argued that you're purchasing a service, you know?
Right, exactly.
I don't want to purchase it. I don't want my gaming. I don't want all my gaming.
Hey, listen, and if the market agrees with you, this system will fail. But look,
here, I don't think the market will agree with me.
But you don't know. You don't know.
I'm pretty sure the market likes the easiest thing.
No, I agree with Nevin. I think the market is actually going to move towards this model.
I agree.
We are the last generation of people that have an attachment to physical media.
Yep.
Oh, I don't have any attachment to physical. All my games are on Steam. When I download movies, I say we, but you own our generation. My point is that not our generation includes people who don't even our generation doesn't have people like that.
You can accept that by and large most people are not like you of our generation.
There's a lot of people on Steam, man.
The last vestiges of people who are attached to physical.
Yeah, I agree.
We remember what a cassette tape looked like.
I remember the value of
a cassette tape.
Right?
The people that are still buying CDs are people that are in their late 20s, early 30s.
Hello. I guess that's true. I haven't bought a CD in years. But listen, I understand what you're saying. But those people are also not hardcore gamers. They're not going to buy Assassin's Creed on the people from our generation who are
right.
Going to buy
no,
Assassin's
but, but
Creed
but
PC
what
are like
what
me.
I'm not talking about Assassin's Creed 2 right now. I'm saying like where the industry is moving in the future.
Generations
younger than us have absolutely no attachment
they
to media.
They desperately want a subscription-based model for every media consumption. Yeah. They want the iPad. The dream behind the iPad is that Hulu, for example, is free on the computer. On the iPad, they want to charge you a subscription because there's a new way of consuming that media. Same thing for gaming. They'd love to move you from I buy a game for a fixed fee to I subscribe to a gaming service by Ubisoft, by IW, by Activision.
Why though? Why don't?
Because then they will always they have a guaranteed revenue stream.
Because the cost of the game is amortized over a period of time that you would have paid to the subscription.
If every one of the guys who bought
think about the guys that are still playing Halo 3. Right. What if Microsoft could have charged them $10 a month to join the Microsoft?
Would they still be playing Halo 3 though? That's
probably.
A question.
Quite likely.
Probably.
They love maybe, it that, maybe right? not. What they want is to make it so that you, as soon as you stop paying the money, your games go away. Your content goes away.
I'm
okay with that.
I am not okay with that.
As long as they're giving us some kind of functionality for it.
Or if it's cheaper. I mean, if they charge you $5 a month, then you can play for 10 months. On the cost that it would cost you to, or
but that isn't the model. They're not doing it on a per game. They wouldn't do it on a per game basis. They want to do it where it's much like a Rhapsody model.
What if it's like Netflix? What if for $5 a month you can play it? You can download whatever one game, right?
And the model doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
The model is being designed. This is what I don't like is most people I've talked to, and at least on the film side, who they love this because it's a way of locking the consumer into. They used to be able to get to guarantee revenue, approximate the guaranteed revenue,
right.
And they can't anymore, and they're looking for ways to do that. I don't like that, because that means I'm a fucking commodity, and they're looking at ways to eat me.
I'm sorry, you've always been a commodity.
I know,
yeah,
I just don't like it being so craven. I also, I
it's
like
not what's
owning,
craven
I like
about
having,
that, though.
I don't like
that adjective. Why is it craven
because
to...
Because when I bought a book today, or yesterday, from
a
bookstore for $20,
right.
You know, if it's a hardback, I'll have that forever.
Okay.
I have it forever.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of that model of consuming media.
But there will always be room for that model. Listen, I'm sure, for example,
at an inflated price.
But listen, if you're downloading movies from Netflix, I'm sure Netflix has a store attached to their thing where they say, listen, if you want to actually own this movie yourself forever, we will burn you a CD or whatever and send it to you.
It's called just never send it back. Never put
it
back.
Yeah, or do whatever
you
want.
But then you pay a subscription.
I'm just thinking about the gateway of advertising right now.
What?
They could actually enhance.
There's a lot of opportunities and many, many different ways inside of this to monetize.
Look, people are going to try to figure out ways to make money. I mean, you know, when freaking the railroad was invented, everybody said, fuck, now goods from France are going to be able to come into Spain and they're going to be much cheaper and better quality and all the Spanish people are fucked. That didn't happen because all it did was it made everybody in Spain richer because they could get better quality stuff for cheaper. It's the same kind of thing.
All I want is I really like ownership. I don't want to go from
a
society where...
So you may pay a premium for that.
I don't want it, but that I just don't like a society where it's a premium to be an owner of something.
But that may be. But what I'm saying is, you pay a premium for something when you're in the minority.
That's where society works right now. It's you. I pay a premium to own these DVDs rather than rent them from Netflix. Well, I don't because I'm a savvy consumer. But the average person that I see at Best Buy buying all the release week titles for $19.99,
right.
That person pays a premium to own those things rather than rent them from Blockbuster and whenever they want to see it again, rent it again.
You always pay a premium if you're in the minority because the majority.
Well, it's not even a minority majority issue. It's if you want permanence, you always pay a premium. There's no maybe. Pricing. You know,
maybe.
Imagine this. Let's say you have season tickets to a basketball game.
Sure.
You cannot take the games that you see with you, right? Yeah. However, if you want to pay, you can get the official Lakers recording of that game,
like the DVD,
and
box.
Hang on to it.
I think a corollary to that is if I have season tickets for 5 years, I go to every game,
right,
and then I stop paying, I still have gone to every game.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
So you still play the games that
you still have your memories of playing the game.
I don't have a problem with that subscription model. And that's fine. But with a gaming model, there's games that I've owned since, for example, one of my games I've owned forever is Allied General. And I have in that game, on my old fucking Mac, an ID that goes back 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And hundreds of hours of gameplay. And if I had to pay a subscription on that game for that entire duration of time, a game I play, you know, not all that often.
Right.
I would have paid for that game over.
No, but
and over
but you
over
you would have paid
over,
for the subscription on the game for the duration of time you were playing. You can't take your ticket to an 86 Lakers Celtics game and then go up and say Magic Johnson and whoever else, I want you to reform the team and play this game for me because I have this ticket that shows you I purchased my right to view this game.
And that's what I think I love about media versus and other forms of entertainment.
But it's just
the book I have of Dune from when I was 16 that I've read motherfucking number of times.
Right.
It's still my book, and I can always read it. I can give it away. I could sell it. But
that game will always be there.
Well,
I don't think so either.
For example, when I bought World of Warcraft for like $60-odd, and then
you're a chump.
Whenever it came out, I bought it at full value. The new release.
I didn't know you played WoW.
I played WoW when it first came out.
I didn't know. How long did you play WoW for?
Maybe 8 months, 9 months. And it fucking sucked. But, you know, I paid for the game.
Right.
And that game is completely useless without the subscription. And I bought the
subscription.
But
your character's still there.
Yeah, your
daughter's
still living.
Any time if you want to reactivate your game, you take
it. What I don't like about subscription-based models is I have to pay money every time I play the game. And I bought it. If they gave me the game for free, that changes things a little bit in my mind.
I mean, maybe. Let's say you have a subscription to the newspaper.
You're not paying.
If you don't, you're like, I miss getting the newspaper.
But I own every
pay for
single,
the fucking subscription.
I own every issue physically that I ever received.
Right. And you own the experiences that you had with the game.
I physically own that copy. That's my copy that if I threw out, I threw out. If I kept it, I kept it.
I got news for you, man. Those newspapers are, unless you're keeping them in a vacuum sealed, they're eventually going to go away too.
Well, but that's besides.
Everything goes away, dude.
That's besides. And yes, of course, the media of the DVD, of the CD of the fucking game I played for 10 years is eventually going to get scratched and be useless.
Right.
But it's on me to maintain that. I own it. It's my possession.
But you own your memories and your experiences.
You still own World of Warcraft. You still own that disc. What you don't
own is
the service that accompanies it.
And I'm comfortable with that in that sense. But I don't like taking... I mean, this is... you guys are all arguing against me, but...
I really
like the idea that for Borderlands, for example, buy a game, play it.
Yeah. Borderlands is the fucking greatest game ever.
You buy game, you play it, and you pay for the service to play it on a certain way.
But you have to understand, though, what we're talking about is...
But that's what you're paying for with World of Warcraft. You're paying for the service
and
to play
also,
it on a way.
Those are two examples I'm comfortable with. I'm also comfortable with the Steam version, where you buy it, you download it, and you've paid for it, and it's not a hard copy, but forever, whenever I log into Steam, I will always be able to download every game I've ever purchased.
Right, but you paid a premium to have that right to play those games at any point.
Exactly.
That wasn't a premium. That was a normal price.
Let me tell you.
No, but it's hypothetically a premium to the subscription-based model. If I can pay $10 and I can play, in the duration of a month, every single game that you've downloaded to play forever, you've paid a premium over me.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but it's an implausible statement to say that you'd be able to play every game that I played.
Okay, I pay $10 a month for 3 months, and I don't work,
and all I do is I wake up, I poop sock it, and I just play the game that you own on Steam. Okay? If I did that, I'm pretty sure that in 3 months of nothing but game playing with maybe 6 hours of sleep a night, I could equal the amount of time that you spent playing most of those games
not
on Steam.
Not even close. But that's...
What?
The amount of time I played Red Orchestra alone... would just be like, how the fuck are you
going to... I'm going to check your hours on Red Orchestra when I get home,
dude. You should check my hours on Red Orchestra.
Anyway, listen.
Nevin, have you played more than 200 hours of Red Orchestra?
Probably.
300 hours of Red Orchestra.
There's no fucking way, dude. Combined, do you... No, there's no way. My hours of Left 4 Dead 1 and Left 4 Dead 2 combined are 215 hours. I play the fucking shit out of those games, dude. There is no way...
I can match... Poop socking it. I can match him in under 2 weeks. In under 2 weeks, I can match his Left 4 Dead time.
There's
okay?
No
so
way,
Nevin,
dude.
Nevin.
Look it up. I actually would love to know because I can't
in
get
that,
on my PC
in that $10, in my $10, in those 2 weeks poop socking it, I have matched his $100 investment.
You're,
so what I'm telling you is he has paid a premium
exactly.
over my $10 in poop socking so that he has the right to not poop sock it.
I think the reality is no one, the vast majority of consumers don't consume that way, but that's fine.
Whatever. No, but what Howard's really saying is he's paying a premium in money, he's paying a premium in time, his time, and I'm choosing to pay that premium
sure.
in my money so that I don't have to poop sock at the games like he does. I can play them when I want to and still build up 200%. That's what he's saying.
Oh, well.
I'm cool with all these subscription models. What I'm not okay with is the pay-per-play model. To me, that's BS, you know?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well...
arcade styles, dude. You dropping a quarter per life in
that's
Assassin's
a Japanese
Creed.
Model,
or
yeah.
like however many microtransactions
right,
it microtransactions takes to hop
models.
Over from, you know, this ledge
Americans
to that
hate
ledge.
This model. Americans hate the micropayments model. It has not worked here because Americans fucking hate being nickel and dimed. We hate that shit. But in Japan and Korea...
It goes against the very concept of freedom.
Though, is that the microtransaction-based games in that are popular in Asia is you don't pay for the client. So,
right.
you know, you could
right.
fucking spend $50 on various suits of armor and you're going to be like,
well and that always gets yeah. that gets into my anger at the
right.
whole, like,
I mean, that
twink with cash.
Yeah.
Right, we don't
I
like
think
the idea
twink
of some
means
guy
what you think
with
it means.
Twinking means twinking is what we did with your buddy in
yeah,
in
twinking with
that's
cash rather than with friends giving you good shit. You just buy it. Hate that.
No, we didn't give him good shit. He joined our party at a very low level and we killed really fucking high level shit, so he went up 8 levels in 15 minutes.
It's,
dude, that's twinking.
It's basically you pay money to do that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you mean Chinese gold farmers?
Chinese gold farmers, or you buy all the gear that he would get.
Undemocratic.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't
so
like that.
So, did the gaming... This is just an etymological question. Did the gaming term of twinking come from the fact that twink generally refers to, like, a very young, boyish-looking, effeminate man?
It's possible.
A gay man. And the idea is that when you twink somebody, you're taking them under your wing...
I think actually it probably came originally from online RPGs, and the term twink is onomatopoetic because you wave a wand and it makes a twink and you're on the level.
I'm just saying that the term twink...
makes a twink? What?
Yeah, wand, twink, twinkleating.
No, but the thing is, like, the term...
You know, wand foley,
the
dude.
Term,
what
would
you foley a wand
this,
in?
This is why...
Twinkly-dinky.
Like, the term twink as a reference to, like, a young, youngish, boyish gay dude... has been around for
that's
a lot
true.
Longer than online RPGs.
That's true.
Maybe.
So I really feel like it has to do with the idea that, like, you're taking someone under your wing like you would your little gay buddy.
It might.
I'm kind of with Howard on this.
It's possible.
There may be a very Hellenistic...
That's your bathroom. Wow. That's your bathroom, and that's what happens whenever you flush the toilet, Howard. Howard recently clogged the toilet, and they had to replace it with new pipes, and this is the result.
It's true, but the only reason we had to replace the toilets in our bathroom is because Nevin's became such a biohazard that human beings weren't allowed.
I love how Howard's defense is immediately like attack Nevin.
Yes.
Like, but somehow, like, it's no mea culpa.
So
it's just like, fuck you, Nevin. Listen, why don't you guys move out of here?
How could we possibly?
You just said
move out
I hate
here?
This apartment.
I just hate that toilet.
How
but
could
we
possibly
can...
move out of here?
I like your apartment.
How can
apartment.
I move out of here, Eric? Look at this noise. I can never leave here. I'm going to die in this apartment.
It's taken an entire year to get to this point.
So
I don't know what we were talking
Assassin's
about.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Listen, as far as Assassin's Creed 2 goes, I mean, Yeah, I mean, look, as far as PC versions of these games goes, I mean, I don't know why people buy them anyway. They come out like a month later. On the other hand, Mass Effect 2 for PC sold really well. So it came out the same time as Mass Effect for... I mean, when I say sold really well, Mass Effect 2 didn't sell well in general, but it sold well compared to the console version.
No, I think the console version sold really well on release.
Did it?
Yeah.
It sold okay, I guess, yeah.
No, like, it made, it, all it, I know made, is it made top 10.
It couldn't have sold that well because it was outsold by the world's worst game ever, Aliens vs. Predator.
Like, yeah, but that's not a huge IP.
Dude, let me tell you something about Aliens vs. Predator. You must never, ever say anything bad about Aliens vs. Predator, or the internet will destroy you.
have you been pursued?
The internet came after me, dude.
it's a guy in a class.
Eric, I don't think it's actually a testament to the sales of Mass Effect 2, because it sold more than 2 million in its first
week. Oh, really? Wow. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Yeah, no, it did really well.
All it is a testament to the massive, unstoppable power, even though there's haters like you out there, fucking grapefruits, right? Of the Alien vs. Predator franchise.
No, on that fuck note, Aliens vs.
On that
Predator.
Note, we're going to the break.
Grapefruit!
Wow, we're only halfway done. Fuck.
Refers to women as the outer part of the vagina. That's great.
And we're back from the break.
Oh, you gotta keep that in.
I'm gonna keep that last part in.
That's very funny.
But there's a lot that y'all have missed. But yes, we're back from the break. There is.
No.
Outer part of the vagina.
Wonderful. That is wonderful.
That is good. All right, anyways, so what are we doing on this second half of the break, Howard?
All right, well, first, let's start by talking a little bit about the age of borrowing and the wonderful art of Nick Simmons. See, Nevin has no idea what we're talking about because, yet again, he failed to read the show notes.
Oh, Gene Simmons' son. Today.
Yeah. Gene Simmons' son is
a model and an actress.
No kidding.
And oh, his daughter's.
Look, just because you fucking put little really wigs on the towels and give them names and backstories doesn't make it any more real.
Hannah. Oh, she's Jewish.
No, she wasn't.
Gotta be. Gotta be.
Nevin was like, damn it, no! Dear God!
I'm trying to get away from the Jews, or the not Jew Jews. I'm trying to get away.
What's your problem with the people?
I've just had a string of bad luck.
I love how, like, a lot of Indians, like, in their language, they refer to their name for their own people is the human beings, or, like, the people.
Well, isn't that, like, every race, indigenous population?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Evil alien.
That's
race.
Not true. The Romans didn't call themselves the people.
That's because they were surrounded by, like, many other...
So were fucking cultures. Indians, man!
Anyway, all right. So, anyway, Nevin, Nick Simmons got busted this past week. For... He puts out a comic called Incarnate, which is a kind of like an American manga. It's American. Oh, right. It's drawn in a manga style.
Excellent.
He decided to swipe images and panels from Bleach, which is probably the second most popular manga in the world. It sold like over 10 million copies
worldwide. No one's going to notice that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he just lifted it.
It's
very blatant. Yeah.
He either lightboxed it or he had the picture next to him while he was copying it because it's not like...
I wasn't clear though. Was he the actual artist or was he the writer?
He is credited as the artist. There might be a studio of assistants and people that actually did the art, but nevertheless, his name is listed as artist and writer on the comic, right?
Okay.
But you can put the panels on top of each other. And they will basically match up.
I mean, even down to things like the dialogue or the same.
I mean, I can even show you here.
Yeah. So why did he do this?
Huh? Because he's lazy?
No, I mean, it also, you know, listen, it's bad. I'm not defending him at all. He claimed that it was an homage.
Well, he said, here's
is like Andy Warhol.
Right.
That's
an
homage,
right.
Yeah. You know? Here's his apology. Like most artists, I am inspired by work I admire. There are certain similarities between some of my work and the work of others. This was simply meant as an homage to artists I respect. And I definitely want to apologize to any manga fans or fellow manga artists who felt I went too far.
Alright.
My inspirations reflect the fact that certain fundamental imagery is common to all manga. This is the nature of the medium.
Were these all upskirt shots?
No.
No.
That would be very common.
Yeah. I am a big fan of Bleach as well as other manga titles. And I am certainly sorry if anyone was offended or upset by what they perceived to be the similarity between my work and the work of artists I admire and who inspire me. Uh-huh.
Okay, look, I will say this. One of the biggest problems here, and he was wrong. He's wrong and he should suffer the consequences. But young writers and artists, one of the ways that they develop their own voice is by copying the work of other writers whom they like and respect. This is a very common thing. If you read early stories from great writers, anybody from Lovecraft to Hemingway to whoever, they are copying the style and the writing of writers who went before them, and it's not good, but it's not. But this one really is direct plagiarism. The difference here is most of those stories from early writers; those guys were not famous, so they wrote these stories, and those stories only came to light after they had already become.
Yeah, they
famous.
Wrote in large part as practice.
Right. In this case, this kid had the connections to get this comic published in the first place, and probably had a lot of pressure on him and shit, and so he just did what a young guy is going to do. Now, it's not... That doesn't make it excusable, but... okay, so what you're seeing here, Howard is showing us all the picture from the comic. He's showing us...
Here they're laying the two images on top of each other.
Right.
All right.
So you can see that they're virtually the same. So, you know, he's showing us different pictures of different frames, and you can see that
See? Upskirt.
The images are basically the same. Part of it...
Very similar.
Also, though, is that Nick... The whole comic of Incarnate is very much in the same style as Bleach. So that is going to be part of it. But, I mean, you can see the layout of the frame is virtually identical. I mean, it's basically the same. I mean, right down to the inking is the same. Yeah. You can see the inking is the same, which is...
Yeah, I mean, if he copied the composition, that would be an homage. But the actual content is identical as well.
All of his characters look the same.
Yeah, I mean, the similarity in the character design and the layouts. I mean, look... Are there only so many ways to really draw a profile photo of someone or profile image of you grabbing someone's face? Yes.
Well, yes and no.
Can you draw it in a manner where it doesn't look identical to a comic that sold 10 million copies?
Yeah.
Probably.
20% according
to
copyright law, right?
You know, but
actually, with copyright law, there's no specific percentage or number.
Oh, is that patent law, maybe?
I don't know about that. Yeah. No, I've never heard that number thing. But here's the thing. People used to say, for example, like, there's only so many, you know, there's only 12 notes in music.
Right.
So there's only so many ways, of course, my song is going to sound similar. Like, for example, there was a famous lawsuit where John Fogerty sued the former members of Creedence Clearwater Revival for putting out a song that was very similar to his song. Or rather, I think they sued him, rather. And so he played his songs for them. And their argument was like, well, there's only so many notes in the musicals, there's only 12 notes, so some stuff is going to be the same, but that's a bullshit argument because there's infinite ways to combine those 12 notes and there's infinite ways to draw different things. So I don't believe that there's only so many ways you can draw somebody grabbing somebody's face.
Well, it didn't even seem like there was an attempt.
No, that's what I was going to say here.
They all look blatantly the same.
So, but that only strengthens the argument against us. But in this case, it's so egregious and so obvious that, I mean, he must have lightboxed it or something. I just don't know. Why but the thing that's that? Amazing to me is that the editors or the publishers who put let this comic out did not say, what the hell? This looks exactly like Bleach, but I guess maybe somebody wasn't familiar enough with Bleach.
To be fair, you know, there's probably a lot of American comic editors that aren't familiar with manga.
There's like 300 some odd, like, issues.
Right, they might not have known frame by frame.
394 now.
So the thing is that, I mean, you know, he was stupid. He's a dumb kid.
I mean,
the thing
is, as to why he didn't have him, he probably had deadlines. You know, assuming that he's the one drawing it or his assistant, whoever's drawing it, they have to produce a certain number of pages by a certain time of the month. Right. And so, you know, he probably came up with some quasi original story. You know, look, most manga is ultimately kind of similar.
It's all the same. So manga is one of the least original.
I mean, you know, look, there's what, like 5 stories in the world, right? What's that saying? Anyway,
that's like saying there's 12 notes.
Right.
Though.
But the point is, look, he probably had some story laid out, you know, and if he drew it, then he probably just got caught on a deadline. He's like, look, I'm just going to lift a couple of panels. Big whoop de fucking do.
Yeah.
It was probably
that's
his
more
attitude.
Than a couple panels.
But see, what probably happened was, here's what happens with this process. It's like anything. It starts off small. You say, hey, I really love this one panel, so I'm going to do an homage to this panel. And then what you say is, oh shit, I'm under deadline pressure. I do not have time. I got to come up with something really cool. Well, I love this panel from Bleach 2. Let me throw that one in there. And then it snowballs. And then you're just like, I'm putting this in, I'm putting that in, and eventually you end up with this crap.
Right,
so,
but I mean,
I'm not excusing it. I think what he
I mean, it could also just be, you know, honestly, in a weird
laziness?
Way, like almost a generational issue. Like he might not see a problem with doing what he did.
Maybe,
know?
Because, you know, we are ensconced in a culture of sampling and borrowing.
True.
And there was a German girl who wrote a book.
Germans.
And she was caught lifting huge passages of it from other writers.
Yeah, yeah.
And when she was called out on it, her response, instead of, you know, what most people do when they're caught plagiarizing, which is to grovel and ask for apologies, or to give apologies, she said, quote, there's no such thing as originality anyway, well, just authenticity.
That's very German and avant-garde.
Yeah. I'm so German.
There is nothing that makes me angrier than stealing
Nazis.
Somebody else's work.
Fucking Nazis.
Because I have created things in the past, and I know what a blood, sweat, and toil it is to do it. And to have somebody else get credit and recognition for your work, that is irreparable harm, you know, because nobody can ever now, the blogger will never be as famous as this girl, no matter what he does. I mean, maybe if he becomes, but it's just, it to me, it's the
worst. He will never be as famous as her for that particular work.
Right, for that work.
What blows my mind is in a world of Google and, you know, infinite text searching,
right?
People actually think they can get away with this.
Well, especially in the manga world where you're filling it with, especially in the US manga world, which is extremely geeky, and you're filling with guys who are going to know. You couldn't have picked a worse manga to rip off than Bleach. I mean, you could not have picked
a worse
manga.
Well, maybe Naruto.
Yeah.
That's probably the only one that's
right.
More
but it's all equivalent. But
yeah,
find
but,
something obscure.
Even if, no, but look, listen, I've put stuff in scripts that I've written that is not directly lifted, but that is inspired by other stuff that I've liked.
But there's
on
taste,
purpose.
There's a taste
but it's
way
a
of
very tiny part of it, and it's a small thing. However, what I have a feeling is that this kid probably, a combination of deadline pressure, being new to it, and also, look, he comes from a very privileged background. This manga was handed to him on a plate. You get to the point where you feel like, I cannot fail. Like, nothing I can do. Everybody's telling him, we're going to put this out
arrogance,
for you.
Right?
Yeah, it's not even arrogance. It's just an ignorance of the outside world.
Who
it's just you
guy?
Don't know what's going
he's
on.
He's Gene Simmons'
son. From Kiss.
Oh, he's a guy that goes fuck. You know, his dad fucks a lot.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's a big
well,
time.
Well, yeah. Then who fucking cares?
Well, listen,
well, you know,
that's what he was banking on, dude.
In this case, too, it bothers me less than the blog thing because the person he's stealing from is so hugely famous and successful already that his plagiarism of this person cannot possibly harm
it's
him.
It's not detrimental.
It's not detrimental.
In a way,
but
it is an homage. I mean, as a filmmaker, I often see stuff like this where you replicate a shot or a certain movement almost exactly, but it's a very conscious act. It's a very, it's sort of a wink and a nod to the original.
But what you just said is you actually replicate it.
Right. You replicate it and you make a distinct effort to change it, to put your own spin on.
See, that's what I like. Like, there's really cool things like, for example, you know, there are shots in movies, for example, that you see where they do them in a, for example, the Reservoir Dogs walk. You've seen this shot done, sometimes people parody it and do it in a silly way. Sometimes people do an homage to it by doing it from a different angle. That's perfectly fine. That's cool. Even if you have the exact same shot and you just want to clearly make an homage, that's fine. That's a small thing. But this is an entire ripoff. Now, again, like I said, to me, if I was the Bleach mangaka, I'm happy about this because all this does is make my comic more popular. Right. Nothing's hurting me about this.
Well, all right, so let me ask you this question. Like, you know, people put out unauthorized mashups of existing songs, right? No, they're not getting permission from the copyright holders. They're just putting these things together. But, you know, a good mashup, arguably, is a good piece of art.
Absolutely.
Right? And arguably that's because we have a tradition in music of sampling and people modifying existing pieces of work, and usually still with permission, but sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it takes just as much effort to create the mashup.
So
I don't know here's a lot of effort.
I haven't read Incarnate, right?
Yeah.
What if it's just as good as Bleach?
It is,
right? Yeah. But okay. No, I don't like Bleach at all.
I'm
not a Bleach fan at all.
Gio apparently somehow read Incarnate already.
I've only read snippets here and there. But
right, but I mean, look for the sake of discussion.
Just for the sake of discussion,
let's assume that it's as good a piece of work, right? And it puts its own spin on it, right? Do we care that he sampled, stole, however you want to phrase it, this imagery? And same thing with that German girl that took the language from the blogs, right? Do we care about that because these are older mediums and mediums where this type of sampling and reuse, repackaging existing material hasn't been done before? Or is it because there's something more inherently wrong about this versus a mashup?
It's inherently more wrong because these people are profiting. The people who create mashups are not profiting from other people's work unless they have licensed the material or they've gotten, you know, written permission from the owner. So
what about a guy that is now, you know, he puts out a couple of mashups, they become really popular, and then now he's able to book like DJing gigs.
That's
constantly fine.
He used his skill, but he's not selling the mashups. He's selling his talents.
Right.
The mashup became a way for him to showcase my showcase. In this case, the Nick Simmons is paying the price because the opposite is happening. But here's one thing that I think is an interesting thing to do to talk about. There is a long tradition in Japanese manga of creating homage mangas that use the characters that are not officially sanctioned by the mangaka or by the publisher. So it's called doujinshi, which is basically like a way of some other artist will take on somebody's characters and make an unauthorized manga and then sell it at manga shows.
Yeah, there's actually a big yearly show called Comic Cat where it's like people can make like six figures selling these doujinshi.
Is that like Ray from Evangelion? No.
Part of that. I mean, there's a big chunk of it is hentai, which is doujinshi, where they take the characters and put them in erotic situations.
Right.
But there's also a chunk that's just straight up, essentially really, really skilled fan fiction. And a lot of times, the original artists are aware of it, and they'll pass it to another friend of theirs, and they'll say, yeah, go with it. Now, the publisher just looks the other way. They don't sue these guys because it's such a part of the industry.
But this is clearly not fan fiction because there's no, they're not carrying the Bleach label.
And they're
doing this for
profit. It's also a different cultural environment from the United States, and it's a practice that's understood and accepted.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I think it's hard
to make a corollary to the artistic world.
This guy is not doing this as an homage.
It's not a doujinshi because a Bleach doujinshi would feature the Bleach characters literally as opposed to.
Although, you know, what's interesting is there was a Doraemon doujinshi that was published, I think, like a year or two ago. That was supposed to be like the last Doraemon.
Right.
And it became so popular that the rights holders actually stepped in and they actually shut it down.
Yeah.
And it's one of the very few instances where that happened because
they should have bought it. Yeah. What they should have done.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I don't think they were ready to end the franchise. So I think it was just one of those instances where the fan fiction became like such it sold, I think, like 150,000 copies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it just became such a cultural force.
There's something great about that, though. You know?
I think so, too. I absolutely think so. But at the same time, we have to be aware always that things are a business. So it's great that the companies are willing to look the other way to some degree. But I absolutely understand if you're fucking with my IP ultimately down the line, I would say you have the right to shut those people down. Shut them down because they're going to fuck up your cash flow. It's great that they look the other way and it's good of them to do that. And it's great that they allowed this subculture to exist.
Well, they also allow it to exist in a certain way in the United States anime culture as well, because there's, if you go to any of these like anime shows, there's always fans that are selling their own like fan art and fan books and things like that. Yeah. And
fan subbing is a big thing in the United States.
Yeah, but like fan subbing is not something that, that people, that the, these companies are happy with. That's something that they want to shut down.
Fan subbing? Oh, fan subbing is when fans take a anime that has not been licensed by a United States company. So in other words, there's no legal protections from it. They get the raw feed from Japan, like somebody records it off the TV show, and then they put subtitles into it and release it on the internet for free to people to download. Nobody makes a profit on it, theoretically. Some people sell them illegally, but fan subbers give them away.
Right.
So there's no damages, basically.
I mean, the United States like anime market used to look aside at that back in like the late 90s, early 2000s when anime was first starting to pick up, because at the time, distribution was limited to either fan sub, like there were fan sub clubs, so you'd get videotapes from people and things like that. But with the advent of digital distribution, even if it's a product, like people like will fan sub things that are licensed as well. Like they'll
sometimes,
you know, they'll fan sub like the latest Naruto or Bleach episodes.
You're not supposed to do that. The reputable
fan subbers will not distribute. Issue is that if you start fan subbing a series and you distribute it in its entirety online for free, it kills the ability for a legitimate distributor to purchase that series later and distribute it on DVD, because who's going to buy it? People have already seen it, right?
But the argument could be made that anime never would have picked up the momentum that it had in the United States without, you know, this free
distribution. Also, another thing is fan subs used to be kind of, they went from being poor to being ridiculously geeky, where it was like every chance they got, they would try to show you how much they know about Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a reaction to that now, where professional translators have come in and said, this is not real translators. And now if you watch I'm a big fan of fan subbed anime. I watch a lot of anime, both in Japanese and with fan subs. The fan sub quality now is so high that it would be indistinguishable or superior to a professionally translated thing. And so what's happening is translators saying put out of work by students who are just enthusiasts. The studios are saying what Howard said, which is that we're not going to buy your thing. It's already been distributed and seen by everybody. We're not going to buy your anime and license it to come in the U.S. And then what's happening is having a chilling effect on anime creation.
I mean, part of the problem is the Japanese companies to some extent overvalue what these properties should be worth.
Right.
So the licensing fees are already fairly ridiculously high.
Yeah, they're super
very typical of Japanese.
Yeah. Exactly. And so they're selling, you know, 4 episodes for $30 on a DVD, which compared to what I used to have to pay for like a VHS of 2 episodes is quite frankly like amazingly reasonable.
Yeah.
Right? Relatively.
You know why? But they sell it on iTunes 99 cents an episode.
They can't sell it at that price and make money.
They can't make money on that.
The amount of licensing fees that they are being charged by the Japanese companies is so exorbitant that...
Well, that's what I mean. The Japanese companies should approach iTunes and be like, let's do it, you know?
Well, that's one possibility. Yeah, they'd have to make up their fees for translation and localization, which are not insignificant, although they're not that expensive.
Hire some of these fan subbers.
Well, that's another thing. So what translators are saying is, look, I'm a professional translator. Some kid right out of school who's working for peanuts, he shows me what
he's
got.
Free market.
But you know what? That's right. And that the response to that is, look, these kids are showing you what they got. But the translator is saying, listen, this is illegal stuff. It's got to be shut down. But you're right. He's really just trying to protect his job, which is wrong.
You know.
But look, I mean, having seen also one of the things, again, speaking about the free market, is fan subbers now they're all in competition with each other. Like if you go and look for a popular anime that hasn't been released, like a recent one would be, I don't know what a recent one would be that's popular, but there are many, like Do La 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 or something like that. You can see there are multiple fan sub releases from different competing organizations that all want to have the best fan sub, and that creates a huge level of quality because they're all competing with each other, and you know, so there's no way to release these things, you know, even if you put it on iTunes for 99 cents, I've already seen it. There's no way.
Yeah.
When it gets released on TV in Japan, it's going to take longer to legitimately translate it and release it on iTunes than it will for some guy to record that, send it to the fan subbers. The fan subbers have a huge collective thing.
Not only that, but there's a ridiculous sense in the manga anime community in the United States of entitlement.
Yeah,
and
they've been getting it for
free.
Right.
Exactly.
And so this is what was going to happen. The studio that owned One Piece was going to start streaming episodes online. The day it aired in Japan, 4 hours later, you would get a fully translated, subtitled version that would stream in the United States. Before they were able to launch this program, right? Some people hacked in and stole that stuff and put it online. And because they did that, they're like, fuck you. Now you're never going to get it.
Right.
Yeah. Right? But that was the degree to which these kids were like, you know what? Fuck you. We're not waiting 4 hours. We're going to get it right now.
There are these
and this is your audience. These are the people that you want to act as rational consumers, and this is a problem, right? This is a whole, goes back
no,
to
No, it's
like,
completely, it's perfectly rational. They can get it for free. Why would they not?
No, but I'm saying, I'm saying, like, you want them to operate on a model where, well, okay, yes, I guess.
Participatory. You want them to participate in the exchange.
Theft, right? I mean, they're stealing. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's not moral, but it is rational. I mean, well,
okay, so this stream, is it a purchase stream?
No, it was going to be free. It's just free on their website. You didn't even have to pay them money to watch it. Yeah. But they wanted it. They wanted it.
They have officially broken the model of
There's no way to distribute
it.
There's also an
element of, we want to prove how fucking sweet we are, how elite we are. Yeah. Like, we're gonna fucking show you. And so
there's clans of, like,
yeah, that's what, know, and these are guys, right, are all in competition with each other. And look, and this is not just anime too, this is also in mangas. There's people who translate mangas
beyond,
and put them up on the web.
Way beyond anime. Yeah. This begs the question, like, how does any content provider make money and
it's hard
yet not be hostile to your own viewer base?
They have to be hostile to your viewer base
because your assumption is, and actually I would refute your point that they're being rational consumers, because they're not being consumers.
Yeah, they are. They're consuming something. They're just taking it.
No, like, by consumer, I mean that there's an exchange for the good. There's no...
What do you mean? They're
just stealing, dude. If I run into Walmart and I run out with something, I'm not being a rational consumer.
No,
I'm a rational actor, but I'm not a consumer at that point.
Those hackers should be arrested and put in jail.
Possibly. But yeah, no, I agree. But you can't argue with the fact that, listen, if you're hungry, and obviously I'm not equating this with hunger, but if you're hungry and somebody leaves a pie on a window and there's nobody around and you run and grab the pie and eat it, nobody can argue that that's an irrational act. That is a perfectly rational thing to do. Anybody in that situation...
But it's still wrong.
Yes, but when you talk about rational consumers, right? You're discussing...
The consumer
there's a price point at which the rational consumer will find value, the equivalent value of your product for money, right? That's what you mean when you say rational consumer.
Well,
I suppose
companies need to try
But the problem is that there is no rational consumer with your target audience. Because your target audience, their price point is zero.
Right, exactly.
Right? And it's not even zero at the time that you want to give it to me. It's zero at the time that they want it.
Right. So what you have to do then is alter the cost-benefit analysis so that the cost for them to pirate it is higher than they're willing to risk. But that's...
You also have to separate, you know, your bad consumer base from your good consumer base. And even in a consumer base where everyone wants things for zero, there's still the people who are willing to break the law and hack into a server and the people who aren't. You can be hostile to those bad people who are hacking. You know, you can build better, more secure systems for keeping your data, but you still have to cater to that other group.
But that's like a significant addition of cost to a model where you're making razor thin profits to begin with. It's not like they're raking in money from the banner ads on their website.
In the past week, I sat through about half an hour per night of NBC.com ads just to watch the Olympics. I think it can work, you know?
Well, I think everybody was agreed that was horrible coverage of the Olympics. Everybody hated it. But look.
Except everybody watched it.
No, it did not do good numbers.
It did great numbers.
It's the first time that American Idol has been beaten since it started airing.
For the Olympic coverage.
Really?
They lost $300 million.
Oh, that's what I heard. They had lost
because they
a bunch
overbid.
Of money. Yeah.
They overvalued the Olympics, and
that's
they
what
were $300 million
okay.
in the hole.
Come on. Well, has NBC been making great decisions lately?
Nope.
That's what I heard. Then, not that it was bad viewership.
Yeah, I made the presumption that meant bad ratings. No. If they paid an appropriate price, they would have had a huge success.
Anyway, we're getting away from the subject of the Nick Simmons thing, which
I think
we all agree.
And your dad.
We all agree that
your dad's a whore.
Hey, this is awesome. Kiss is great, man.
Dad's a whore, though.
You told me Kiss was stupid
online.
Well,
I don't like their music, but I like them.
You're like, Kiss fucking sucks.
I don't like their
music. I have to defend Detroit Rock City to you.
I don't like Kiss's music. It's bad music, but they are great performers and they're great at what they do. And they're
look how fucking politic you are now that you're on the radio. When you're talking with me, you're like, they fucking suck my left nut.
They do. Their music is bad. I'm not recanting what I said.
You didn't say Kiss's music. It's like, you're just like, Kiss sucks.
Well, I meant Kiss is music. I was using it as a metonym, okay? A metonym for Kiss.
Caveats are really important.
Exactly.
Anyway, listen. I think we all agree, do we not, that Nick Simmons overstepped the bounds, whatever may be, at this particular case. And he's a douchebag.
And should be queefed.
Right, next subject.
He should be queefed.
I hate you.
You know what's funny? He will be bequeathed a large fortune from the Kiss family.
Yeah, he will.
I like Gene Simmons. You know why?
Because he fucked a lot of women.
You know why else?
No.
Jews.
Everybody in that band is Jewish, man. Those are the that's the most sex having is Jews. That's the most sex having is Jews since fucking Methuselah, dude.
What's Herod?
He's a guy who lived. Herod? He lived 1,000 years.
Yeah. Consider Herod to be Jewish, King Herod?
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah. You know, he wasn't Jewish though.
What do you mean? He was a pagan.
Wife was Jew.
What? Oh, he was a pagan?
But he was not ethnically Jewish.
Really? Really? But was it... Well, I guess, was he a religious Jew or was he a pagan? A
religious
Roman pagan?
Jew. And he was brought... Oh, so and he banged a Jewish woman. He married a Jew and he was not himself Jewish.
So he's Jewish.
Became the king of the Jews and he's like, what up, motherfucker?
He wasn't the king of the Jews.
Yes, he was.
Don't you read what it says on top of the cross, man? Come on, man. Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews, man. Clearly that makes him the king of the Jews.
Fine. Says the Jew.
He's not the king of the Jews. There is no king of the Jews. We're way too fucking angry at each other. There's no way we could ever elect a king. We hate each other.
They didn't
way
elect.
Too much,
he was just been turned.
You don't
by
elect
Romans.
Kings. That's the whole point of
that's
having
right
a king.
The Romans are like, yo, dude.
You don't need a king. You have the Zionist board that decides everything.
Zionist board.
You mean the Zionist world conspiracy?
Yeah. The board members all get together.
You mean, also known as the Injustice League?
Yeah. Lex Luthor, secret Jew.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, revealed.
Lex Luthor, Joker. Joker's
look,
Jewish.
That's why they're always trying to steal money, Eric.
Penguin obviously is a Jew.
Oh, help me.
True. You can't, you can't refuse it, man. It's obviously
true. Explain Mr. Freeze.
That's why he hates
clearly
Superman, who is Christ.
He's Russian. Might
think
been
about it. Boom, mind blown.
Superman is not Christ.
Wait,
Superman is the ultimate Jew, man.
No,
what are you
dude,
talking
Superman
about?
Is the ultimate Christ.
No,
analogy.
He's the ultimate
he's
Jew. No, like... that is so right. Hang on a second. Whoa, hang on. This is important to me. This is important. First of all, he's created by two Jews. Second of all, this is really fucking important. Second of all, he's the ultimate Jew, man. He's a guy who looks like everybody else, but is still an outsider on the inside. People don't understand him.
Like Jesus.
No, who was a Jew. Who was a Jew, first of all.
Exactly.
Second of all, but no, he's the ultimate Jew, man. He's
come to save us all.
No, man.
He's the ultimate
Messiah. Nobody understands Superman. He cannot fully connect with everybody else, even though he looks and blends
just
in with
them. Just like Jesus.
No, like the Jews, man.
Like
Jesus. The Jews, dude. His planet,
look, just like Superman, Jesus came from Jews.
His planet was destroyed, and his people were scattered to the universe.
Superman was sent by his father to save us powers greater than normal man. Look, I'm pretty sure Jews don't have secret powers that they hide.
You mean except for Jesus? Jews except for Jesus?
Because and Jesus Superman. Was... Done.
Get
boom.
Out of here. No, get
gotta
out
go.
Of here.
Let's loop
get out of here.
Secret Jew because he's trying to kill Jesus.
Some kind of nature. Some kind of soul. Some kind of mixture. Some kind of gold. Some kind of majesty. Some chemical load. Kind of metal made up from glue, some kind of plastic I could wrap around you. The needy eat man-made, they wear phony clothes. They sit with barbiturates and build big
some kind of nature.
Apple is the only corporation propping up the NASDAQ right now.
Yeah, true.
Apple made me a lot of money.
Not me. I didn't buy an Apple.
Should have bought
that. That was a smooth transition to talking about Superman is Jesus to making money.
Are we talking about Superman is Jesus now? I also want to say that Superman, his real name is Kal-El, Hebrew name. Okay, so that.
Look, Jesus had a Hebrew name too, dude. You're just proving my point for me.
No, man, he did not have a Hebrew name like that.
What does Kal-El mean?
I believe it means like El is God or holiness. So
Elohim.
Yeah, El.
I think Kal is like
son. Aha! Christ.
No, that's not what it means. Look it up. You can look it up on Wikipedia or something. Okay. But anyway, it's definitely Hebrew. Because
Wikipedia never
I think it means like God is great or something like that.
No,
El is
well,
where do you touch
no,
it?
No, El is
like
the
Iowa
short
or something, right? So his adopted parents were...
His adopted parents, that's the whole point.
Clearly
he's
not Jewish.
Right, yeah, but that's not the... He's not Jewish
he's
himself. No, look, he's not literally Jewish.
He's a metaphor, dumbass.
He's a metaphor for Jews, for the Jewish experience. You know, he puts on glasses and works a regular job, and everybody thinks he's a big fucking loser, and, like, he can't connect with anybody. But then when they need somebody...
Just like Jesus was a carpenter, dude.
Jesus exactly. Never built shit, dude.
Yeah.
What?
He was only
Superman barely covers the news.
But he never built... What did Jesus build? He never built shit. He put carbon on his resume.
Are you kidding me? I'm sure by the time he was 30, he built at least a chair.
I think the coming back to life deal kind of overshadowed his carpentry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's not known for his woodwork.
Yeah, he fucking turned water
hey, you know who, you know who also
chairs?
Died and came back to life? Superman!
What?
Boom!
And when did he die and come back to life?
Superman number 75, when he was killed by Doomsday and came back. Although, technically, I guess if you want to get into the
science,
he was in a Kryptonian coma, and the only reason that
he actually
Superman does die because he goes to heaven and his dad has to bring him back before his soul is kidnapped by Satanish and Blaze.
Look, I'm not talking about much later Superman
no
now.
More
of the creation of Superman, original
Superman.
Superman
also dies in the Silver Age.
Talking about comic books.
All right, let's talk about something else.
All right, guys, so moving on from Superman is Jesus.
When he,
what
he's
have you guys,
actually Jewish,
what,
but okay.
What have you been doing lately?
Oh, God.
All right, let's talk. Howard, what have you? Why don't you answer one of your own questions to start with for now?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why I'm the host, because I get to ask the questions.
No, you answer
you,
this.
You talk to me about Assassin's Creed 2 before you forget.
Fine. What have
I'm
I been doing
forget.
Lately? I've been
forget.
Playing Borderlands a lot.
Will you agree with me? And I think we can agree. Borderlands was my game of the year 2009.
Borderlands is either number one or number two.
What would be the competition?
Altitude.
But that wasn't released in 2009.
I don't know when it was released. I bought it in 2009.
That's not how it works. I bought Half-Life in 2009, therefore Half-Life is game of the year 2009.
Like, Super Mario Brothers 3 is the game of the year 2009.
Civilization, game of the year 2009. Speaking of Civilization, I love Borderlands. It's an almost perfect game to me, but...
It was released on May 1st, 2009, Evan, so you can by all means
Altitude. Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
Altitude is my game. Probably my game.
Okay, but let's say excluding casual games, which to me are a completely different beast.
It's very persistent and quite invasive and good for being a casual game. It's not a bejazzled.
Bejazzled?
I don't even know what word you were trying to use with invasive. Were you talking about... Figure out what word you were using.
I think you were trying to say bejazzle.
No, that wasn't what I was trying to say.
Bejazzle, the
bejazzle,
casual game.
Bejazzle? No.
Bejeweled.
Bejeweled. Yes. I got bejazzle in the mind right now.
What the hell were you trying to say with invasive? I'm just still trying to think. What word were you going for?
English
it's very
is,
invasive.
English is my first language.
That was like when Mike Tyson made the greatest speech of all time in the history of sports. When he's like... He, like, comes out, and he's like, my style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable. He's like, I came out here, I just buried my cousin, I don't know what's going on, but he tried to beat me, I beat him in the face, my style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable. Lennox Lewis, I want to eat your children, all praise to Allah. And then he walks away. It's the greatest speech, that is word for word what he said.
And that was the greatest impression of the greatest speech.
My style is impetuous is the greatest line. Me and my cousin said that to each other whenever we did something good for years. We would be like, my cousin would be like, I got an A on the exam. He'd be like, my style is impetuous. What?
My style.
But the best thing about it was he goes, Lennox Lewis, I want to eat your children. All praise to Allah. And then walks away. And the funniest thing is the interview question was, Mike, You got hit by a few rights in the fight. Did you have trouble seeing out of your swollen eye? And he's like, look, I just buried my cousin. I don't know. I didn't train for this fight. He's like, I never trained for this fight. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. Nobody can touch me. I'm the greatest Lennox Lewis. I want to eat your children. All praise to Allah. And he walked away. He walked away. And the guy was like, all right. Like, they did like a shot of him, like a one shot of the interviewer with the mic, and just like looking like, what the hell just happened? Like, I don't know what happened. And the other guy who he just fought is knocked the fuck out. So I don't know what to do. He's got nobody to interview. He's like, let me interview this Mexican gentleman standing next to me who maybe will have some kind of commentary. Oh. Mike Tyson, that's the greatest speech in the history of sports. Forget the fucking, like, Lou Gehrig, like, today is the luckiest day of, I feel like the luckiest man of visit. Fuck that shit. My style is impetuous. And then he walks away after Lennox Lewis, I want to eat your children. All praise to Allah. And I'm out. It's like, peace out.
I don't know if I can keep talking.
All praise to Allah. Peace out. All right. Anyway, what have I been doing? I've been playing a lot of Borderlands, like you.
Yeah.
When our buddy James,
we finally got the team together,
and Brian.
Brian's Xbox died. Sadly,
he died literally in the middle.
But I just saw him online.
I just saw him online too. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Dragon Age.
I don't know what the hell happened.
I think his new one from Dell showed up already.
His new Xbox from Dell.
He just bought a new Xbox from Dell. Yeah. He didn't send it in to get repaired, he just bought a new one.
Wow, it was so good to get that lawyer salary, man. I remember that lawyer salary.
Those Google in-house attorneys making the tall dollars.
Oh, he works for Google.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Anyways, so I've also been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 2, which...
Okay.
Here, Assassin's Creed 2 kind of went on a bell curve to me. It started off, I was like, it's similar to Assassin's Creed 1, which I didn't like. Then I was like, hey, this is pretty interesting. Then I was like, wow, this game is incredibly addictive and awesome. And I was like, I've been doing the same fucking shit over and over for hours. I just want to know what the hell is going on with this game. Like, can we just please stop shanking people in the face over and over? Like, and just, I'm sick of killing people. There's too many people in the conspiracy.
How can you get sick of killing people in the conspiracy?
There's too many guards that you just kill. They're like, I've learned so much Italian now. Because I play the game in Italian, I know, like, when you're on the roof, the guard's like, Giù, subito. I think apparently Jew is the word for get the fuck out. Like, get out of here in Italy. Like, he says, la Giù. And to me, that, like, that's apparently the word for get out of here. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm serious. He's like, la Giù. I'm like, what the fuck?
There's actually a function in the game that can detect if a Jew's playing.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, la Giù. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. But no, anyway. So, like, I mean, at this point, I'm like, wow. I don't give a fuck what happens to Ezio.
What they do is they gauge how much money you're saving in your village.
Because
I had the same thing happen to me when I was...
I also...
What is it?
Because I was playing in English. I was playing in English, and they were saying, let you...
It's a Jew. Get him. So I don't really... There's, like, kind of, like, no point to it now. I'm just going through the motions trying to finish. Because it's also really easy, like... There's a lot of... After a while, you're just basically unstoppable. Like, there's nothing... Nobody can hurt you. Like, you can just kick the shit out of everyone.
You're pretty much playing as, like, Renaissance Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean,
except you're a Batman that stabs people in the face.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can get tired of that. I could literally just play, like, for hours, running around on rooftops and just stabbing people in the face.
I've given up using weapons just to, like, make it more challenging. I just fight people now. Like, I'm, like, fucking, like, 30-style boxing them. Like, I just, like, play people. But, like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know. It's fun to take weapons away from people and stab them with them. I don't know. I mean, I have a gun now, so it's kind of like, what the fuck is going on? But
I also like hiring whores to distract them.
Yeah.
Like you hire whores and you walk around with them, and then you can select like a crowd of guards. You're like, go to the guards. And the whores have been like, oh, you come here, big boy. And then you just walk up behind the guards. You're like, yoink! Now you're dead. That's what you get for whoring around.
I the one problem with the game that I have is the game has a mechanism where it tries to figure out what you're trying to do. 90% of the time, this is great. The 10% of the time that this sucks obviates the goodness of the 90% of the time because it's really fucking annoying.
Are you talking about like when you're running around on the rooftops?
And he jumps the wrong way into his death? Like he just jumps like a million feet out into the great wide open? Like, why would you do
that? There's like no building even remotely nearby.
But right next to him is like the fucking ladder that you want him to go to. But for some reason, you press the controller like 1 degree of arc off and he like jumps, flies off into suicide land. But anyway, or also like you try to stab people and he'll just like stab civilians. Yeah. And the game's like, Ezio doesn't kill civilians. If you do that again, we're kicking you out of this game. Like, I didn't fucking mean to, motherfucker. It's your fault.
I think the best games make a conscious effort to avoid player annoyances.
Yes, exactly. See, one of the things that it's so good that you brought that point up, because I think one of the things that makes games really good is constant level of enjoyment where you're not feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
Feeling of frustration sucks. I hate that.
Especially when you're trying to escape.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. So
the game that I thought handled like scaling buildings and that kind of like movement a lot better last year was Infamous. Because
I haven't played that, but yeah, I heard it's
good. When you're moving up, like it has a very similar mechanic where you can climb up the side of almost any building and there's a lot of like rooftop races and stuff like that. There are almost no moments where I felt like I was jumping off something and I wasn't jumping in the direction I wanted my character to go.
Right.
If I did that and I failed, it's because I misjudged how far I could jump or like I wasn't finding the right route to do something.
Right.
But it rarely, like in Assassin's Creed, you'll be like, okay, and jump to the next roof. And then like you'll just jump off to the left and then grab a window.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, now I'm stuck. And I can either fall all the way to the ground or let this guy like stab me in the face and die.
Yeah, right. Mm. Exactly. I mean, the game is a good game. It's got beautiful production values and the amount of scripting that went into it is unbelievable. It's hugely long. I mean, even without the DLC. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I've rarely said this about a game that's good, but I think it's too long. I would have liked the game to have ended by now. And not just because I feel like I have to give it back to you because you lent it to me. But I feel like it's too long. And also, there's a large amount of time that disconnects you from the overarching story, which is, you know, the whole game takes place in, like, sort of a simulator of Renaissance Italy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell's going on with the main character of the game, who is the guy in the simulator. Who's
I mean, it's a weird like game because the person that you are technically playing is also playing a game, kind of, because you're playing this guy named Desmond in present time, who is going into this thing, this device that allows him to jack into the memories of his ancestors and relive them.
Right.
And those are the sections where you're running around Renaissance Italy. So you're playing your character playing someone else.
Right. It's like Avatar.
Kind of.
No, it's much more similar to the Matrix, where you're in this machine. And in fact, the point of it is similar to the Matrix too. He's supposed to learn through this re-experiencing the skills so that he can fight this evil corporation or something. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But like, I don't really understand what's going on. And at this point, I really find myself saying, "Man, I wish this game was over."
I'll tell you this: when you get to the very end, and they reveal kind of like the secrets behind everything, it'll be a pretty cool reveal.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's the same thing J.J. Abrams promised me with Lost,
but he's a liar.
Yeah, but you know they're making that up from like week to week.
Yeah,
Lost. The writers have no idea what's going on.
But like, you know, have you been finding all the hidden glyphs?
I did all the glyphs. I saw the whole movie from Subject 16. I have no fucking idea what the hell it's about. But I guess we'll see. I don't know.
I could tell you what it's about.
Well, then don't tell me.
No, I mean, but like, they don't explain it in the game.
I mean, I kind of understand. I never finished Assassin's Creed 1, so maybe I'm missing something. But it's clear that, I mean, also, part of the problem was the language track was in Italian, and there's no subtitles in that video.
There's no dialogue in like that.
There is at the very end. They say one thing to each other, and then I hear him call her Eva, which is this Italian word for Eve. I assume it's supposed to be Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But that's all I could figure out from the video. But that's
pretty much it. It's Adam and Eve.
But they were created in a lab or something?
By a thing.
Okay.
Watch the video again, like with that.
Yeah.
And just like look at the things that they're running by and kind of the iconography that they're running through.
Right.
And look at the, like, assuming that they, it's Adam and Eve as we know them at the beginning of creation.
Right.
See how you can make that make sense in your head.
Okay. I'll look at it again. Yeah. I will. I think the game is entertaining. It has a cool script. I'm ready for it to be over at this point. I'm sick of, I mean.
Are you also like chasing every side mission?
No, I abandoned that. I did that in all the towns except for Venice. Uh-huh. Once I got to Venice, I completely abandoned that because I was just like, it's not necessary. All that does is give you money. So there's no real reason.
Other than the joy of stabbing people.
Yeah, but I mean, so I'm sick of it, dude. I mean, I'm just sick of stabbing people. It's like, I just run away from guards now. It's just not worth it. It just takes too long. Fuck this shit. So I've been playing a lot of that. What else have I been doing? I don't know. What have you guys been doing?
Dennis, what have you been playing?
I'm a gameaholic. I have a serious problem. The last game I picked up and tried to play was BioShock.
And that was one or two?
One.
Okay.
And that was a while ago. And the first time I started playing it, I sat there and played it for 12 hours nonstop.
Mm, BioShock had a very, story that really brought you in. Yeah, very immersive story.
And I had a serious MMO addiction for a long time.
That's not a game. MMOs are not games.
I've had to wean myself off. I reactivated WoW for like a month. in fall, and it nearly destroyed my life again, so I put that away. So I've been sticking to casual games like Scrabble and Stick Wars on the iPhone.
Oh, right on. I mean, casual games are cool.
Stay far away from a real legitimate game.
No, it's...
Keep me away.
Dude, there are real legitimate games on the iPhone.
Yeah, there are some.
But
Civilization Revolution,
I'm
best game ever.
I'm telling my girlfriend that I'm going on vacation when StarCraft II comes out.
Yeah.
You should go on vacation when Cataclysm comes out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, I have no interest in StarCraft 2.
For Cataclysm.
I'm not that interested in StarCraft 2 either.
What is Cataclysm?
It's a new WoW expansion.
It's not just an expansion. It's a destruction and recreation.
Yeah, so. It's a retcon. They're going to try to retcon the world a little bit.
Wow. Including more races or what?
More races and more...
I don't know what's going on.
I heard that they're going to introduce the Zerg into the Warcraft world.
No, they're not.
That would be ridiculous. They've already introduced space squids with the Draenei. That was ridiculous.
The only MMO that I'm not a big fan of MMOs. The only APB looks kind of cool, but the only MMO that I'm at all.
You know, you're going to play the DC Superheroes MMO because you want to play as like Power Girl or Zatanna. You're just gonna do upskirts all the time. You're gonna go to Joker's like Funhouse of Mirrors and just like hang out in there all day.
No, the one MMO that I'm interested in is the Warhammer 40K MMO, only because I absolutely love that IP. It's fucking fascinating.
Oh wait, there's a 40K MMO.
They're making a 40K MMO. So I'm interested in
that. It's going to be as good as the fucking Warhammer MMO.
I had high hopes for the Warhammer MMO.
That's just going to be like the saddest, most depressing MMO of all time. Like every single quest is like, oh, you end in failure. Sorry, there is only war.
You kill people. There is only war.
Like, oh, yeah, I collected 50 more rats.
Yeah, but that's the universe.
There is only war.
That's the universe, though. I know. I mean, that's the Warhammer universe. There's no real good guys, you know. It's just kind of like, you know. But I don't know. Anyway, who knows what will happen. But speaking of Bioshock, I have been playing Bioshock 2, which I think has been unfairly overlooked in much the way that almost all of those designers' games were before Bioshock. It's a very good game.
Is there as much Ayn Rand in the second one as there is the first one?
Did you play the first one at all?
Yeah.
It really didn't proselytize one way or the other. I mean, it wasn't trying
to do
anything.
I know, just having any of it.
Why? What's your problem with Ayn Rand?
I hate Ayn Rand.
Why?
If I could build a time machine.
Why? What's your problem with her?
First Hitler, then Ayn Rand.
She doesn't have enough tit.
You know, ideologically speaking, Hitler and Ayn Rand are kind of on opposite sides.
That's how much I hate both of them.
This one is more, at least at the beginning, I've only played about half of it. It is more ideologically based. The first sequence is a museum of Rapture where they kind of talk about the ideologies behind it and stuff. But at the same time, you get Andrew Ryan's journals where he's talking about his misgivings about this whole kind of indoctrination thing and stuff. It's actually it's an interesting and good game. One of the problems, though, is they have you play as a big daddy, which has no practical effect on the game. It makes no sense, and there's a lot of internal inconsistencies where, like, you're fighting other big daddies who, for some reason, are vastly tougher than you, which doesn't make any sense. Like, why? Like,
do you have an awesome drill hand?
You have cool weapons. You have a drill hand.
Do you see the world through a bubble?
But when you're underwater, one of the conceits is now that you can travel underwater because you're in this thing. So when you're underwater, he closes his mask.
Okay.
So you can you do get on the corners of the screen, the bubble. But you have all sorts of cool shit. There's a drill hand, which you can get, like, things that do stuff to. So you can get, like, freeze drill. So the drill's, like, frozen. You get, like, there's a drill charge now. But there's a 50 caliber Gatling gun that you can put on. There's also a fucking, like a double-barreled shotgun, which, like, I don't understand. The guy has a drill for a hand, but all of a sudden he can hold, like, a double-barreled shotgun. I don't know what's going on with that. There's all sorts of cool weapons. But, you know, the game, it's very similar to Bioshock. So if you liked Bioshock, you will like this game, so I would recommend it.
Recommend that I stay away from it, you mean?
Well, yeah. The interesting thing about this one is it added multiplayer, which I have not tried and seems completely redundant, but whatever. Anyway, the story is interesting because it gives you a little bit more background about Rapture. So but that's another thing I've been doing. How about you, Gio? What have you been doing?
Let's see. I've been playing Modern Warfare 2.
You're a horrible person.
I know I am.
That's Nevin's favorite game of all time.
No, it's not.
You did play it for a while.
You know why? Because I had less life than I really wanted.
Why didn't you come play Left 4 Dead 2 with me?
PC was dead.
PC's in the garbage can.
PC is sitting in my room needing to be put in the trash.
You need to come play some of these online games. Dude, I got CNC 4, dude.
I gotta get a new PC.
You need a new PC first.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
We should start a buy Nevin a new PC PayPal fund.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we could do that.
That'd be great, guys.
I love Command & Conquer. It's always been my favorite RTS series, so I can't wait.
Really? I love the original Dune 2.
That was a great... Oh, man, that was the greatest game ever.
It didn't crash every 30 minutes.
Yes. I need to pull back 1 second because Command & Conquer is my favorite RTS series, but the greatest RTS of all time... There is no comparison. Nothing is even in the orbit is Sins of a Solar Empire. So I just want to say that.
Ooh, really?
Sins of a Solar Empire is the greatest game.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's one of my top five games in history. So, yes, that one's great. But, okay. Anyway, CNC Core, I'm really looking forward to it.
Since, like,
but I must give the homage.
like, it's been a year and a half.
I keep waiting for them to release too. You know, we were talking about DRM and Stardock, the makers. They have a policy of we do not put any DRM on our stuff.
So I
wonder how that has been working out for them. But that's the greatest. That's one of the greatest games of all time. That's one of the Citizen Kane's games.
Mm.
It's brilliant.
Anyway. And it's so fucking simple.
Well, it's simple, but also complex and very subtle.
Well, on that complex but subtle note, we'll end the show, and we'll see you guys next week.